Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ted Santos, and I am your host. I am the host of Straight Talk. It is the talk show that was made for men by men. And it's such a manly show that not even ladies would want to miss it. For decades, men have been listening to women talk about all the things that men should be, what it means to be a man, a real man. We've heard it all, and not once were men asked what they wanted and what it meant to be a man. So Straight Talk rose up out of that environment, and it created a place for men to be men. To think, talk, speak, act, and engage as men, only as men do. And for the ladies who want to understand men, well, there's no better place on earth than to hear the straight, brutally blunt conversations that men can have and what they think. And some of our topics are, well, why don't we add a little beat to all of this and get ready to get the show on the road. Let's do a little beat. Joining me. You know, I'm Ted Santos, and I have these straight talk conversations. So here we are at Straight Talk, to do exactly that, to have brutally blunt and honest conversations. If you missed Friday's show, my YouTube and chill, I'm telling you, you will want to go back and look at that. That show was done based on a request. Someone asked if I talked about how a man has a right to strip a woman down and to help her be a better woman, to ensure, I shouldn't say ensure, to work with her as a man so that she becomes more compatible. So if you missed that show, you'll want to go back and look at it, because I had a guest. I had a woman who lived with me for 3 years, and she talked about how she kicked and screamed, and I stripped her down, and she resisted, and she out of her mouth, she said she became a better person for it. So very interesting show. And today's show is not a sequel to it. But, you know, you guys know I like talking about life, love, relationships, money, social challenges. And this one is kind of a combination of social challenges, relationships, love, if that exists. That's maybe another topic by itself. So, you know, we do this straight talk so that we can, as men, discuss many topics from a man's perspective, never being told we are being toxic, you know, masculinely toxic, or whatever the words are, machismo, over the top, all the things that are used to tell men to stop being men. This is the place to do it. And if any woman really wants to understand how men think, this is a show you'd like to watch. And if you'd like to participate, love to hear your thoughts, questions, and even your yeah, buts, how about, because here we talk, think, and speak like men. And tonight, well, we're going, there is so much talk about this guy that some women call the dream guy. He's called the high value man. So if there's a high value man, I assume there must be a high value woman somewhere out in the universe. And I'm going to look at that, because there are many, many, many women. I'm comfortable to say thousands, tens of thousands of women who claim they are high value, they are valuable women, yet they are perpetually single and alone. And for all the women who say, well, women live longer when they're single, I'd like someone to pull up those stats and show that, because that sounds like a great justification. So tonight we're asking a question. Why is the so-called high-value woman still undesirable? And, you know, shows can have more than one topic. The other one is, do high-value women exist in the Western world? I'll give you some of my thoughts I had about this. And Country Boy, I see you in the house. Yeah, I'm going to do a screen share. I'm not going to have a live person like I did on Friday. So I'm going to do a screen share with some videos, some articles, and we're going to get into this whole notion of what does it really mean to be a high value? Is there a reason that these women who claim to be high value still remain in the undesirable box? What's going on, Chris? Good to see you in the house. Hey, Tony G, good to see you. Yeah, and Tony G, and we're actually going to have to do that, to look at both of them. You know, what is a high value man? What is a high value woman? And so I know there are some popular people talking about this. So I'm going to look at what is mainstream USA in plain English looking at when they classify a man as high value and they classify a woman as high value. So I had to do some digging and some research, and I think you're going to find it interesting when you kind of juxtapose and look at them and what's the difference. And is there a reason so many women are not high value, even though they don't realize it? So some of my thoughts were the illustrious high value man has been, the illustrious high value man has been discussed for decades. For many women, they believe he is her dream man. At the same time, what kind of woman is he seeking? If a man is high value, should he seek a woman to also be high value? If so, is high value for a woman the same as it is for a man? Nevertheless, there are many women who believe they are high value, yet men still find them undesirable. How is this possible? It would seem anyone who is valuable is desirable, yet many self-proclaimed high-value women are single and undesirable. Is the high-value woman a unicorn, or does being high-value conflict with being a modern woman, or does it even conflict with being a traditional woman? Hey, love y'all. Love your heart. It looks good to see you in the house. And we're going to be talking about high-value women. Everyone talks about the high-value man and who he should be and what he should do and how much money he makes, all these things. So why don't we jump into this and look at what exactly are they talking about when they say high value man? So we're going to look at an article. And you guys know I just have to do this screen share. So we're going to look at what do they say a high-value man is, so we don't have to deal with my opinion. These are not my thoughts. And then I'm going to take some calls. If anyone would like to call in, the number's 323-642-1387. That's 323-642-1387. I will drop the link also for YouTube. So if you guys would like to jump in, but let's first talk about a high value man. I'm going to take some calls, and then we're going to jump into the perspectives of what it means to be a high-value woman. One second. Yeah, I see the screen I have open there. Hey, if you haven't smashed that like button, this is a good time to do that. If you're not subscribed to my channel, this is a great time to do that. And hit the bell. And I'm told you have to click on the all when you hit the bell. Otherwise, you won't receive all notifications from me. And this is a great video, another good video to share, because so many men hear about high value this, high value that, but the whole world is talking about what they think it is. So we're going to see what's written about this for both men and women. And it also helps men better understand what to look for from a woman. And it tells you what we're going to get into now is what are women looking for when they claim they want a high-value man. So you see the article. It's from Growth Lodge. And this is very recent, August 15th of this year, 2021, this article was written, and it's five defining traits of a high-value man. And notice there are five. There are lots of men out there who have lots of money, drive fast cars, but can't seem to get their lives together. Unfortunately, they are the types of men we like to regard as high value. A man isn't high value because he earns a lot of money. Regardless of your financial status or the nature of the suits you wear, once you can bring value to the world, like, and I want you guys to hear this, once you can bring value to the world in any way, you are high value. You are a high value man. Recognizing value has more to do with character, poise, and energy than it has to do with the type of car you are driving. And just pause right there. You know, there are a lot of guys who have money. Hell, look at athletes. Most of those athletes are definitely not high-value men, even though they are millionaires. Many of them are broke after they retire, once they leave the NBA or NFL or whichever sport they play. A lot of them are broke. Their value was their, you know, they were a workhorse, a worker, a field worker. They played football or basketball. They trained. They're good at that. But beyond that, there's not much else. And I know there are some football players who go on to become neurosurgeons and attorneys. That's a different breed of a man. But most of them are broke, and they spend their money on women who disappear when he goes broke. There are also men who don't go broke. Some of them can be trust fund babies, and they have a really good amount of money coming in every month because their family, their father, grandfather, someone made a lot of money, and they have plenty of money. They live in a great home, maybe paid for already, you know, inherited that also. And women just use those men. So generally, high-value men are not getting used. They're not out there getting played. I'm not saying they never have been, but generally, they're not the sucker. They've got a better understanding of what's happening in the world and how they're seen and how to interact with people. So those guys, and I'm not calling them alphas. A lot of times, they can be great leaders in organizations. Their own business. So lots of guys out there with lots of money, they could be inherited, it could be an executive, it could be an entrepreneur, it could be a professional, engineer, attorney. And these guys they make great, you know, six-figure incomes, $200,000, $300,000, $500,000, and yet they're not high value and women use them. So having money doesn't grant you any immunity for stupidity at all. So a lot of these guys get played. What's going on? Okay, let's talk. Let's talk about it. That's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about it. Good to see you in the house. Yes, this is an important topic. And right now we're first just going over what does it mean to be a high-value man. It looks like my IG connection isn't so good today. I'm not sure why. So I want to go on with this article. Indeed, high-value men are often wealthy, but their value precedes their wealth, not vice versa. That said, here are five defining traits to look out for in a high-value man. Number one, they think like Socrates. As Plato detailed in the Apologies of Socrates, when the oracle of Delphi pronounced Socrates as the wisest man alive, He didn't accept the title. Instead, he went around seeking someone wiser so he could prove the oracle wrong. A man who thinks he knows everything, isn't willing to grow, is the farthest thing from high value. Most likely, he's going to be stunted in many areas of his life. High value men are humble, and as such, they naturally admit that they don't know everything. They don't boast about what they know or try to use it to intimidate others. David Brooks put it perfectly in his book, The Road to Character. Wisdom isn't a body of information. It's the moral quality of knowing what you don't know and figuring it out to handle your ignorance, uncertainty, and limitation. If your knowledge builds you into a proud person, then you haven't learned enough. As Albert Einstein once said, he who can no longer wonder and stand wrapped in awe is as good as dead. His eyes are closed. High-value men are open to new ideas. They are ready to learn new skills. They aren't afraid to get uncomfortable or look stupid once in a while. They constantly improve themselves, and this is precisely why they are high-value men. So that last paragraph is important because in the studies they've looked at, guys who are alphas, especially if you're in a corporation and you move up, the alphas hit a ceiling because the alphas aren't open to new ideas, ready to learn. Like they had to be an alpha, you had to prove yourself to get there. You had to fight your way, right? You had to knock someone else off the throne. And they tend to be more closed-minded. And so that makes them not great leaders. Because being a great leader, if you're going to lead people, you need to be able to take in information from your people. I mean, Steve Jobs said it best. Steve Jobs said, we don't hire smart people and tell them what to do. We hire smart people and ask them what we should be doing. That's a leader. So the first one is, they think like Socrates. Here, the source of real confidence. Here's why integrity is such a big deal. We all grew up with a set of moral codes that we've come to define our lives with. Most people don't have enough strength of character to uphold these moral codes most of the time. They do things they know they shouldn't do, leave important things undone, and live in a state of constant self-betrayal. That's interesting. And you guys hear me always talking about compatibility and integrity being number one. And conflict resolution is a big deal when you start talking about being in conflict with yourself and being in constant self-betrayal. So this integrity and not being in a constant self-betrayal because you actually do what you said you would do is what they're saying is another part. This is what they say in the article is, this is the zone of a low-value man who is always in constant self-betrayal. Their poor alignment with their goals and moral codes manifests into low self-esteem, anxiety, and sometimes depression. On the other hand, a high-value man is in alignment with his values. He maintains a stable sense of self by living up to his moral codes, even when it's difficult. As a result of his integrity, he earns his own trust and the trust of others. A high-value man is naturally self-confident because he lives a life that he is proud of. His posture is usually open, not because he's trying to prove he's confident. This is what I'm saying about an alpha, right? It says a high-value man, not because he's trying to prove he's confident, because he knows he has nothing to hide. A man with integrity is high value because he is trustworthy. Though not the easiest thing to do, he has values and moral codes that he upholds even when no one is watching. He does the right thing when it's not convenient. Here's another one. Sure indication of maturity. A biological growth is available to everyone. You can't control it. But only the strong self-aware are able to harness their experiences to the point of transforming themselves into emotionally intelligent people. Men who are emotionally intelligent are highly valued because first it takes deliberate effort to build it. Furthermore, emotional intelligence is a sure indication of maturity and self-mastery. And look, I just did a tape. I just posted a tape a few days ago. Hell, it was yesterday. And I talked about, you know, I did a show on mental health for men. And a woman on the show said, well, maybe mental health should be different for men and marketed different. And I think that's actually a good idea. So I thought about it. And self-mastery is a really big deal. And self-mastery actually gives you access to being better at resolving conflicts and having these morals and these codes and being able to understand principles and make more solid decisions and being able to navigate through life and the things. When things don't go well, like, that's when you really find out who you are. I forget who said it. There's a quote that says, chaos introduces a man to himself. That's where lots of people find out who they really are. And so I'm saying that there's this correlation between self-mastery, how you manage yourself when things aren't going the way you want, because that happens, right? Breakdowns happen, problems, disruptions, chaos. How you handle that says a lot about who you are and the value you provide. And that's what this article is getting at, that self-mastery. It goes on to say, because of their emotional intelligence, wherever they are, they have an aura that is easily noticeable. The way they sit, talk, walk, their humility, patience, and general outlook of life speaks for them. An emotionally intelligent man isn't reactive. He understands that he can't control the things that happen to him. He knows that the only thing he has control over is his response. Therefore, he is able to keep his cool and composure when things get tough, making his woman feel safe and secure in his masculinity. Okay. You know, self-mastery is really about mastering yourself. I mean, the woman is just a beneficiary, not for her. It says, high-value men don't blow a fuse when someone disagrees with them. They understand that people have different opinions and values because of their prior conditioning in life, and they know it's okay. Emotional intelligence, no doubt, takes time to achieve, but when you get there, you are a better friend, life partner, and better human in general. It goes on, and man, I see you guys are lighting up the chats. I'm going to take some calls after this. A foundation of self-love. No one can be valuable if they don't take care of themselves. There's a level of self-confidence and energy that comes from good self-care, because good self-care goes beyond just physical. This is important. Here's the thing. People who love to take care of themselves often have a strong foundation of self-love. They have a sense of purpose that motivates them to want to do the right thing to make sure their body is well-equipped for the goals they want to achieve. This is why self-care is a fundamental trait of a high-value man. If you're someone who doesn't prioritize self-care, it says a lot more about you than you might think. First of all, you're indirectly saying, there's nothing about me that's valuable enough to make me want to keep myself healthy and useful on earth for as long as possible. You know, that's really a big deal right there. There's nothing about me that's valuable enough to make me want to keep myself healthy and useful on earth for as long as possible. That value you put on your own self, you get one body, you don't trade it in at the body store. So how you care for that, like, you're responsible for that. You're responsible for your word, what comes out of your mouth, what you think, care, the fitness of your body. It goes on to say, if you really think you're high value, then self-care becomes natural. In the end, if you're constantly self-sabotaging and betraying yourself, you're going to go through life with low energy, and others are going to see you through that lens. So when they said people are self-betrayal, that's a form of self-betrayal when you don't take care of yourself. That puts you in a level of conflict with yourself, your health. And so physical fitness, yes, with your diet? What do you put in your mouth? And what a lot of people don't consider to be a diet is words, the conversations that you're having, the language. When I say language, I don't mean English and Spanish and Mandarin. Like, are you putting yourself down? Like, what language do you use towards yourself and towards others? So it goes on to say, take care of your body, go for a run, go to the gym, listen to a thought-provoking podcast, meditate, read a book. High-value men are willing to take the necessary steps to reach their full potential. And let's see, the last one is character. One of the most prominent things about high-value men is that they know who they are and what they want. They're not constantly on the lookout, trying hard to get a thumbs up from the court of public opinion. They don't feel a constant need to get approval from everyone to make them feel that their actions or decisions are okay. Rather, they take most of their actions because they want to, not because everyone thinks it's okay. They do what they think is best, not what will make most people happy. The major reason why authenticity is so attractive and of high value is that it requires courage, especially in today's society where everybody tries to conceal you when you display anything contradicting. Seeing an authentic person is refreshing. When you can boldly manifest what you stand for, you empower others to also be who they are and speak their truth. This is why you naturally attract the right people who love you for you, for who you are. In the end, those who are resentful, stressed out, and overused are people who are too used to putting themselves in the shadows, afraid to stand up and show who they really are. Being high valued has more to do with your character and usefulness than with your financial status. The reason why most high-value men are successful is that, first of all, the process it takes to succeed transforms us. Secondly, the mere fact that you are succeeding usually means you're already adding value to others in some way. So those are the five defining traits of a high-value man. The article was written in August of 2021. So interesting, it didn't say how much you make. It started out saying that high-value men are usually successful and wealthy. We think of that, but it also made it clear there are lots of men who are wealthy and still not high-value. So that's what a high-value man is. And in a second, we're about to get into what they say about high-value women. Before I do that, let's take some calls. Area code 870, you're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where you calling from?
Good evening, Ted. How's it going, man?
Hey, man, everything is groovy. What's going on with you?
Oh, everything's cool down here in the countryside, baby boy. I'm chilling. I'm all good for this conversation this evening because we need to get into this.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I want to start off, I want to keep I want to state it for the record, Ted. As far as, this so-called the opposite of the high-value male, I just don't see that in this era. Now, I believe in a woman of some sort of value, but I don't see her as being that man's equal. No, I don't see that.
Well, you are going to be presently surprised when we go through what it means to be a high-value woman, and you're going to see the difference. Very, very interesting. So based on what they are saying, they can't be equal. It's going to be interesting when I lay that out.
Yeah, man, because a lot of these people got this stuff backwards, and it's real twisted on what's going on out here now. These people just believe you just, you got money, and at the end all, the be all, but that don't make you valuable. And it sure as hell don't make you high value pig.
Well, and that's why you heard me talk about that, right? So there are guys who have money, and they are not high value, for sure. All right, that doesn't mean they're bad or wrong. They're just not high value. You see it. See them out there every day. So that's why I read this article, so that we could have sort of a basis, a foundation. And instead of looking at what one person in the world says about it, let's just look at what the masses are looking at when they say high value. And it's going to be interesting when I do, for the ladies, give me about a minute or two. I see Tony G was doing like really quick recaps on all of these. Very interesting, Tony G. Yeah, if you guys don't know, Tony G is a smart dude, man. He's doing recaps in real time, man. I value men possess knowledge and know enough to know they don't know everything, so that they are always seeking. Think like Socrates. Yeah, and what was that? Friday, we were talking about being Socrates in a relationship. Ask questions. Don't always give answers. Aligned with his values, morals, codes, integrity, earns his own trust. Yeah, that was a good one. He lives a life he is proud of because he knows he has nothing to hide.
I mean, it's just ridiculous to the level of what we're seeing going on out here. And the such a thing of a high-value woman, these women need to be, they should be married. And you need to be able to bring some type of value to that man's life. You don't need to be coming into that man's life trying to subtract from that man. That would be my upbringing. That's my upbringing speaking out now to you. If she's not trying to haul you down, say to speak, but she just slowing you down to you.
So
that's a heavy load, man.
A good question for any man to ask a woman or a group of women is ask women, what makes you an asset and not a liability? And but don't just end it there and then say, here's what I'm saying. To be an asset, you bring money to the table. To be a liability, you take money off the table. So ladies, and I did this in a big group, and the women, most of them didn't have answers. They were like, well, you know, I cheer my man on and blah, blah, and I'm in his corner. I support, I cook and clean. And it's like I said, assets bring money to the table. Two or three women were honest, and they all said, those three women said, all women are liabilities. We all take money off the table. And they said, I'm here so I can learn how to be an asset. And they said, I can see from what you're saying, I'm a liability. The woman said, she said, I am a liability as a woman, and I now understand that. So very interesting when you have those kind of conversations. So don't be afraid to ask women that. That way you can find out the reality of themselves. If they can't articulate how they bring money to the table or to the relationship. Hold on to the, I was going to say the empire you're building, but the legacy you're building, right? So you're building something, and how is she being an asset to contribute to that? Or is she taking away from what you're building? You follow me on that, Kendrick?
Almost certainly. That's the reason why I say to you, and you know, and a couple of other older gentlemen had brought it up, and I was curious in it. All the men of society that got their head on straight, they should be allowed by law to start grooming these girls for marriage. If the mom or the dad is not doing it, some type of legal stipulation need to be set in place for husband material to groom that girl for a wife, or an affluent wife, or just a common everyday housewife. Otherwise, well, she not doing nothing but just spending her ties in the mud to it. And that's what those are tired of. They tired of the same old blase. They trying to, you know, men in this culture not trying to move forward. And I can speak for myself on it.
So I'm going to talk in a second about high value women. And some guys wonder if they exist. You know, I put up a picture for this show. I put up a unicorn. So is the high value woman a unicorn? You know, something that you just don't find, or if you do, it's only one, right? So so we're going to talk about that in a couple of minutes, all right? I'm just looking at recap 3, emotional intelligence, self-mastery, not reactive. He knows he can control only his response. Yeah, I get the whole emotional intelligence, but really self-mastery is power. And once you can, once you develop this self-mastery, the next level is mastery over mastery. Like that is the kind of Yoda level. Mastery of mastery is Yoda level. Recap 4, foundation of self-love, self-care. One who values themselves knows their value enough to take care of it. Diet, physical fitness, and diet of proper conversations. Good, good. And 5, character, self-determination, authenticity, encourage. The man creates the success. The success doesn't create the man. Good, good. And yes, so if we replaced all of that, instead of saying these are the things for a high-value man, if we put it with woman, well, that's a really good question. Like, can you just do that? Does it work that way? So we're going to look at that. So I'm going to look at an article, and then I'm going to play a very interesting video about women who are high value. So there may be some overlap between the article and the video, but not really. But it's going to be enlightening, especially for all the women who say they are high value and they can't find a man. They just don't understand it. And this is interesting. So the last article was written August 15th of 2021. This article was written August 3rd of 2021. And this article is the 11 traits of a high-value woman, medically reviewed by Lauren Gulbolt. Interesting. Okay. So I'm not going to read every word of this article like I did the last one. So let's look at the 11 traits of a high-value woman. These days, more and more people are choosing to be single. In fact, we have more single people in the world right now than at any point in history. A 2017 statistic from the U.S. Census Bureau has revealed that 50.2% of Americans are single. This could be for several reasons, but many women choose to put their well-being, career, and themselves above finding a partner. They are also happier for it. A study in Australia found that 76% of women reported being satisfied with single life, as contrasted with 67% of men. Women today have freedom, independence, and opportunities that were undreamt of only a decade ago, and with that comes power. Okay, this is where the high value woman comes in. She knows herself, she knows what she wants, and she isn't afraid to pursue it. She also knows that she doesn't need a man to make her whole or complete. But what exactly is a high value woman, and what are the defining traits? So almost right out the gate, if you notice, when they talked about a high-value man, they talked about how, you know, he brings value to the world, to himself. And a high-value woman, they have to make a point of she doesn't need a man to make her whole or complete. Very interesting how women see themselves when it comes to being successful or valuable, powerful. So the article goes on. It is, what is a high-value woman? That's what we're going to answer here. Simply put, a high-value woman is someone who knows her worth and exudes an energy that goes beyond the physical. That energy attracts other people like moths to a flame, but she is careful about who she allows into her life. A high-value woman is not just highly sought after by men, but is someone who knows her inherent value and can hold her own, regardless of what people say or do to her. She may not be the most physically attractive. That's an interesting point to make here, right? But she has something more valuable and enduring than that. She embraces her femininity and sexuality and possesses a confidence that exudes unwavering self-love and self-esteem. So that's sort of the how they succinctly put what a high-value woman is. She's someone who knows her worth and exudes an energy that goes beyond the physical. And it attracts people like a moth to a flame, is what they say. So out of the 11 traits, number one is she knows her worth. A high-value woman doesn't equate her worth with her body, the amount of attention she gets, or sex, nor does she operate from a place of fear or neediness. She doesn't need a man or anyone else to approve of or validate her. She also doesn't let opinions or remarks of others get in the way of how she lives her life. She is aware of and grounded in her inherent worth and value and knows to be true regardless of what happens to her. I'm sorry, in some ways that sounds a little bit like a victim, but however, she knows this doesn't give her permission to act too good for others or create a sense of false entitlement. Her strong self-worth is evident in how she walks, talks, dresses, and most importantly, treats herself. Number two, she loves and respects herself. A high-value woman feels good in her skin, enjoys her own company, and is not intimidated by the high standards she has for herself and others. If someone does not love her the same way she loves herself, she is not afraid to walk away from the relationship. Interesting. I'm going to skip to number three. Number three, she is kind and compassionate. A high-value woman knows and understands the power of compassion. She displays kindness to everyone she encounters, whether towards the bus driver or her best friend. In the warmth, she shows that true lasting beauty comes from how you treat others, and so her beauty radiates from within. Because she knows the value and connectedness of all living things, she is present with and treats those around her with a gentle kindness. She isn't cold-hearted, stoic, or plays too hard to get. Very interesting. She isn't cold-hearted, stoic, or plays too hard to get. So it doesn't say she doesn't play hard to get. She just doesn't play too hard. She cares about people, and she is not afraid to show it. Number four, she is committed to learning and growth. A high-value woman pursues personal growth relentlessly and strives to be the best version of herself every day. She believes in being well-rounded and pursues wholehearted living with a passion. She aims to be intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually stable and is not afraid to seek professional help to achieve optimum well-being. She knows that she has a lot to learn and is dedicated to learning through reading books, being updated on current affairs, watching films, listening to music, traveling, and immersing herself in art. She tries to expand her knowledge and learn something every day. Something every day, knowing that everything and everyone has something to teach her if she remains open and humble. Number five, she is self-aware and empathetic. A high-value woman is aware of the effects of her thoughts, words, and behaviors have on other people. She understands that she understands that it's not just what you say but how you say it and communicate with others in a tactful and empathetic way. She possesses emotional intelligence and respects her feelings and thoughts without judgment. This enables her to do the same to others. She generally desires to connect. Number six, she is grounded in maturity. A high-value woman doesn't feel the need to play games or manipulate others to get what she wants. Waiting for a few days until texting back, pretending to be too busy, or stringing men along for fun are things she considers beneath her. Interesting. She will not engage in behaviors that don't align with values, with her values or desires. So that's being grounded in maturity. So that's interesting. No game playing, no pretending to be busy and not texting. So all the women who play games with the text, so it clearly sounds like those women are proving to you that they are not high value. Number seven, she's not afraid to speak her mind. A high-value woman knows that she serves no one by not speaking her mind. She is comfortable expressing her thoughts, feelings, and opinions with others, even if she knows that not everyone will like it. She isn't afraid to ask for what she wants, knowing that her needs are just as important as everyone else's. Similarly, she isn't afraid to say no or make clear what her boundaries are. A high-value woman also expresses her self-creatively and shares a unique outlook, blah, blah, blah. Number eight, she is passionate. A high-value woman lives a life that is in alignment with her purpose, goals, and values. She doesn't accept any less and will pursue what she loves with fervor and passion. She lives a life of abundance and does not give up doing what she loves to She lives a life of abundance and does not give up doing what she loves to be with a man. She is not knocked down for long when setbacks and challenges come her way. She uses them as motivation to do better. She is a woman who is unapologetically in love with what she does and who she is. She is a woman who takes full responsibility for her happiness and well-being. Good. So if a woman says, you are responsible for making me happy, happy wife, happy life, she's not high value. I think that's saying that. She has class. Classy and sexy are not oxymorons. She knows how to embrace her charm, femininity, and powerful beauty in an authentic way. She doesn't feel the need to seek attention from others constantly. That's interesting. She doesn't feel the need to seek attention from others constantly, but is comfortable in her beauty and holds herself with grace. So I don't want to overinterpret that, but she doesn't seek attention from others constantly. Interesting. So if they would have taken that word constantly out, it would have changed the whole sentence. It would have been like, she doesn't feel the need to seek attention from others, but is comfortable. But it says she doesn't feel the need to seek attention from others constantly. She doesn't feel the need to compete with other women, but understands that all women are beautiful in their way and that their beauty does not take away from hers whatsoever. She is committed to empowering others and knows there is no need to compete for love or attention. There's room for everyone at the table. Number 10, she takes care of herself. A high-value woman will not only take care of herself emotionally and spiritually, but physically too. So if you meet a woman who hasn't taken care of herself physically, she is not high value. This is number 10. She is committed to good health. She nourishes her body with water and food that makes her feel her best, exercises and moves her body daily, and presents herself to the world in a way that makes her feel confident and beautiful. She makes herself and her downtime a priority and places high importance on her self-care routine. She understands the importance of living a balanced life, respects her limits, and treats her body lovingly. Number 11, she embraces her vulnerability. That's a big one. A high-value woman knows that being vulnerable isn't being weak, needy, or too much. For her, vulnerability is being emotionally brave, even when it feels risky or scary. She allows herself to be transparent and authentic with people she loves. That's interesting. So what does she do when she's with people she doesn't love? That's interesting. She allows herself to be transparent and authentic with the people she loves, giving them space to do the same. She doesn't allow fear to drive her decisions, but risks hurt. She doesn't allow fear to drive her decisions, but risks hurt and disappointment to achieve connection, intimacy, and trust. That's interesting. So she doesn't allow herself, she doesn't allow fear to drive her decisions, but risks hurt and disappointment to achieve connection, intimacy, and trust. Interesting. The takeaway is, high-value woman, this is the takeaway, a high-value woman is many things, but above and beyond, she is a woman who knows her value and only wants people in her life who value her too. She owns, loves, and respects herself and knows her life is no less abundant without a man in it, and that it makes her in it, and that is what makes her a high-value woman. Okay. All right. What do you think, Kendrick? So was that, you think that was the same for a high-value woman and a high-value man? You think, what do you think? Oh, he must have got kicked out. Okay. And 405.
Yeah, man, sorry about that. I got kicked out. But,
I see,
no comparison.
Is that interesting? What do you think the differences were?
I just don't see it because, like I say, her purpose is still be up on a man. And if she don't find her, Lord, word my mouth, her counterpart, that's what I'm trying to say to you. If she not up under her high value counterpart, then she just out here doing some of in and everything. So that argument just don't mean nothing to me. If she's still not under her counterpart.
Right, right. Okay, good. Chris, that's you, right?
That's me.
Yeah.
And I would ask you this, Ted. Whatever happened to Plain Jane? Like the Carrie White. You remember that Carrie White girl that was bullied and picked on in that movie? Whatever happened to those type of girls? We don't even see those women out here now.
No, they're out there. They just get ignored. They're out there.
And Carrie White wasn't ugly for the regular.
I gotta,
she was sexy.
I got a question.
Oh, ain't no nobody was else on the land. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's Chris.
Were those articles written by the same person?
No, not at all. Let me just double check.
Were they both written by women? I know the second one was. The second one is blatantly obvious. It was written by a woman.
Yeah, that was written by a woman. The first one, damn, it doesn't even. Let's see if it's at the bottom. Post being a high value. Doesn't even have the author. It's in an online, I guess, magazine called Growth Lodge.
Growth Lodge.
Yes.
I'll have to look. I'll have to do some research into that magazine. But those are very feminist talking points in both articles. Number one, you have them defining a high value man as a man who. A good-looking celebrity, right?
You broke up a little bit. Repeat that.
He's a good-looking slave with money. he's a man who keeps himself in shape, right? He looks good, and he has money, so that he can be he can serve in years of servitude to women, basically, right? That's a high-value man to them, and then the women. Basically, a woman can be anything be considered high value because that article contradicted itself so many fucking times I stopped counting.
It also It also turned women into victims in the article.
Right. Exactly. I mean, I'm like, she couldn't have made it any more obvious that she was a fucking feminist. I mean, at least try to hide it if you're going to put an objective article out there. You know what I mean?
Well, wait, Chris, but it does say there are lots of men out there who have a lot of money, drive fast cars, but can't seem to get their lives together. Unfortunately, they are types of men we like to regard as high value. So it's saying that a high value man, then it goes on to say a man isn't high value because he earns a lot of money, regardless of your financial status or nature of the suit you wear. Once you can, and here's the key difference between men and women. This article says, once you can bring value to the world in any way.
Exactly. Because the bottom line is their idea of a high value man is a man being in servitude of them.
Wait, but Chris, the other thing I wanted to get across is nowhere in the article for women does it say anything about a woman bringing value to the world. It's all about her and feeling comfortable, and if she gets hurt, she'll get over it. Like it never said it's about her beauty and not
right.
Seeking, because it kept talking about beauty, and it used some other words. Tony G pointed out the word fear and afraid appear a lot of times, and I don't think that word appeared for the men once. So
right. But look, if fear and afraid,
woman, huh?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
For some reason, talking about a high value woman, they talked a lot about what you don't want. You don't want to be afraid, and that you're not afraid of this, and you're not intimidated, and it's. I mean, it was like, why are these words? If this is about high value, what does that have to do with fear and afraid and being hurt? And attention, because it talked about attention, getting attention. And so that's high value.
They're fearful and fearless at the same time. It doesn't make any sense. This is why I don't like talking to women, because nothing they say makes fucking sense. If you let them talk long enough, they'll just constantly, it's like a never-ending cycle of them constantly contradicting themselves. And they'll never own up to it. Even when you point it out, they'll never fucking own up to it.
That's the reason why, Ted, I say hoes are only valuable to their pimp. But that same woman shouldn't be considered valuable to me. She's not looked at as somebody deemed valuable to me. But valuable to him, yeah. That street life, that's what he's about. But me, she's not valuable to me.
Let's use their metrics, Ted. Let's use their metrics to define a high value man, right? Using their metrics, sanitation workers are more valuable than Oprah Winfrey.
They bring value to the world.
Right. Without them,
you take them away.
You go 7 days without them coming to pick up trash. You have rats come in. You have all kinds of plagues that possibly could be spread. So you need Oprah. Let's say Oprah's network went off the air tomorrow. Nobody would give a shit. There's still 100 other things to watch on TV, 100 other channels on TV. Nobody would give a shit if Oprah's network went down. But
right.
That sanitation worker, if he stops picking up trash, there'll be a lot of repercussions for that.
I mean, technically, they are saying that. Right. Bring value to the world.
In a sense, I kind of agree with that, you know? Even though, I mean, it sucks to hear it, but I would say, yeah, to the world, not them. You know what I mean? You bring something, you bring something to the table, right? But the metrics, the problem starts when they try to apply the same metrics for a man to a woman, right? And that's why the dating market is so messed up. Because these women, they were told by these lesbians to go get jobs and earn as much as a man, get a college degree, and men will want you. And no, that's not what men ever wanted. Men wanted young wives that were able to bear them sons. So the same metrics, the metrics for men were, you know, high earner, established. You were, you know, I would say, you know, to some degree of intelligence. You know what I mean? But for women, it's always been young.
There's a word that you could throw in there, which is confidence. You want a man who's confident,
right. But for women, it's always been fertile, young, and submissive. It's always been that. If you are over 35, I don't give a shit how many degrees you got. There are some women over 35 that are making, you know, 150 to 350,000. Those are not high-value women. Those are not high-value women.
Free.
Because nobody wants – no man on this earth wakes up and says, I sure would like some old pussy today.
And that's a laugh in the pit of hell. And that's the illusion that these women got us out here believing.
Men want women between 18 to 25 because they're the most fertile and they have the best chances of producing healthy offspring and giving them an heir to their to his throne. That's ultimately what men want.
And that's what we need, Chris. And like I say, we're going to have to start back grooming these girls.
This is why I laugh when you have all these women over 35, over 30, some 35, 40, calling Kevin Samuels and asking Kevin Samuels, do I still have a chance to get married? No, sorry. You missed that train. See you next lifetime. You listen to lesbians instead of listening to men. So now you go and ask those lesbians to take care of you. Stop asking men to accept an inferior product when it's not what they want. When these women go out shopping, they don't want the knockoff Michael Kors bag. No, they want the original one. They don't want the knockoff Jimmy Choo shoes. No, they want the high quality ones.
And don't forget the years of riding that car carousel, Chris. Don't forget that.
Right.
But I'm glad you're bringing up those purses, right? Because I'm going to play a video, and it's going to lay a very interesting perspective. So let's just say we take this article, right? And this is she knows the word, loves and respects herself, she's kind and compassionate, but it also says she's committed to learning and growth. 43% of college graduates never read a book again. That's a huge percentage. It also says self-aware and empathetic. She's grounded in maturity. Like, a lot of women fall off when it comes to this. Class.
She has
class. She takes care of herself. How many fat women do we have, right? She embraces her vulnerability. So even if you just took this, if we just said, okay, so let's run with this. Most women don't qualify.
Right. And when you talk about class, how many times do we see women prop up women who start OnlyFans accounts? Women who do ass shaking on social media, who do all these sexual acts, you know, for the public to see how they dress so provocatively when they walk out in public. They dress like whores.
Right. But so the point I'm getting at, I don't care about your degrees or any of that and how you look. If we just go by this article, most women do not qualify to be called high value. If we just go by this article, they're not qualified. So whether we like the article or not, the article has disqualified the majority of women.
Yeah, as it should. I'm going to say that the percentile of high value, actually women that we consider high value, meaning 25 and under, I would say this. Any woman who's not a virgin isn't she's not high value. If you're under 25 and if you're over 25, you're no high value. If you're 25 and under, and you're a virgin, yeah, you're high value. You should be seeking a husband. Not listening to your girlfriends because they're gonna steal you wrong. They're gonna have you being whores and baby mamas just like them.
Yep,
you should
yep,
be seeking a husband and looking to start a legacy with him. Have the family.
So I just want to run through this. The recap. Number one, she knows her worth. She knows her value. See, and that's interesting. So for women, it's about knowing your worth. For men, it's about do you provide value. And so even if I just do a quick dictionary.
So that know my worth, that is the most overused.
Well, hold it, Chris. Worth, I'm looking up in a dictionary, it says equivalent in value to the sum or term specified. The value equivalent to that of someone or something under consideration. The level at which someone or something deserves to be valued or rated. Now, value, the regard that something is held to deserve the importance, worth, or usefulness of something. A person's principles or standards of behavior. Let's see, estimate of modesty, consider someone. Okay. Consider someone or something to be important or beneficial. Have a high opinion of. So even if you look at value and worth, there's some overlap, but principal standards, maybe, Jim. See, usefulness of something, right? So importance, usefulness. Value is more predicated on you generating something. Like you can't just sit there and say, I'm valuable. A woman can sit there and say, I'm worth something, and do nothing. And so if you look at the two articles and talking about a high value and a high value man or woman, the man is valuable because he generates something, right? There's some value that he projects into the world. And for a woman, it didn't say anything about her providing value to the world. And I thought that was very interesting.
Why can't Tony G call in?
And yet women will say that they want equality, and how they even see themselves is not equal. Tony G, he said, has feminism taught women to measure themselves using a man's metric? When men see women putting on a man's frame, I guess it's like men being involved in a homosexual relationship with a man.
Yeah, why would he call in? I don't understand. I don't understand sitting there typing all. I mean, you're just gonna sit there. I mean, you can call in.
Modern women will just change the components of the metric in metrics used to explain high value and redefine it to their advantage. Change the rules of the game, right?
Move the goalposts. Yes, that's what women always do. They move the goalposts. They move the goalposts, and that's why I constantly say, you can't get into a verbal discussion with a woman because she's going to use words, and her words are her weapon of choice, right? For us, our weapon of choice is going to be physical. So if you try to engage her in a war of words, she's going to win because you have entered into a feminine arena, and she's going to bring you down to her level and beat you with experience.
Technically, no. She's just, what she does is she'll change the subject. She's going to use words to change the subject. And if you can't catch that, this is why so many.
Right. It's still words. I mean, there are ways to beat them, right? But you have to make them stay on their original talking point. But ultimately,
right,
they're going to try to distract you from that. That's their defense.
Right.
I'm going to try to distract you from my original words by using more words to stray you from the path of the original words.
Right, right.
But ultimately, it's words.
When they run out of that, what they're going to be left with is, well, you're just controlling, misogynistic, and whatever else.
You just, right. Three words. You just hate women. That's it.
Right. That's it. That's the one I was looking for.
Yeah. When all else fails, pull the pin on that "you just hate women" grenade and throw it out there.
Right. So that's really what it ends up where the conversation. But see, when it goes down that path, she knows that she's lost and she has no chance of being able to fully address what's happening. And after that, she may get upset. She has a headache, and she'll just repeat, "You hate women." So that's where it goes. But
I don't hate women.
That's when you know she's out of gas. There's nothing left. She's bankrupt.
Right.
If men did that enough times, then they would actually start to rethink and see that what they're using never worked and it's bankrupt.
I don't want them to think. I just want them to know they're wrong and shut their mouth. Well, all the qualified women.
Right. I say this. For eons, women have been asking for equality. And men, for whatever reason, have not given it to them because you still protect them. You still open doors for them. You still pull out chairs. You still, see them broke down on the highway and on a hot day where you wouldn't stop and help a man, but you're stopping and help them. If men were to give them the true equality that they asked for, right, we wouldn't have this problem. And that leads into, for the last 50 years, they've been saying they don't want to be wives, they don't want to be girlfriends, because they view that as being a slave, right? So they just want to be free to have as much sex as possible and to be whores. Let's be honest. They want to legalize sex work. They want to be whores. So let them be whores. They are tax-paying citizens, and they have a right to be whores if that's what they want to do. Stop trying to force them to be something they don't want to be. They don't want to be girlfriends. They don't want to be wives. They don't want to be mothers. They just want to be whores. Let them be whores. Stop trying to force them to be something they don't want to be. They pay taxes just like you do. They have a right to be a whore if they want to be a whore. Let them be whores.
Well, and then when they turn between 35 and 40, they want to be a wife.
Exactly.
Right.
But by then, it's too late. By then, that's when you turn and tell them, "I don't want to marry a whore. I pay my taxes just like you do. I have the right to not marry a whore. I am not going to marry a whore."
And you can add one more sentence, Chris. Your daughter, by the way, I'd like to...
Yeah. Now I'm going to try to convince your 21-year-old daughter not to follow your path and marry her, and we're both going to laugh at you. There's all this energy and money being thrown at how to fix, modern women. Just stop. You have to let them, like a child, right? You tell a child, you run a bath, or you stick a pot on the stove, right? And you see a pot of boiling water. You see a child maybe try to stick his hand over the pot, right? He pushes a chair next to the stove and tries to stick his hand over the pot. And you're like, "Don't stick your hand in there. It's hot. It's going to burn you, blah, blah, blah," right? And the child just waits for you to leave the room. They push that chair right back up to the stove. And now they're going to, just to defy you, they're going to stick your hand over there. Well, you can hear them push the chair from the other room up to the stove, and you know what they're about to do. The more times you run in there and try to save that child, the more they're just going to want to do it. So let that child stick their hand. I guarantee you, once they tip just the tip of their finger over that water, they'll pull it out, and they won't ever do it again. Is the child going to suffer any long-term harm? Nope. Nope. The only thing that will come is they'll know that that shit was hot, and they shouldn't have been doing that. Well, these women, we keep protecting them from sticking their hand over that hot water. No, let them stick their hand in that hot water. Let them be whores. Let them find out how bad of a life is they're headed for just by being whores, just by being out here and being used for nothing but sexual objects for men. Because, see, they think that because they're out here having all this sex, that empowers them. It doesn't, right? But at the same time, they live in this false reality where because they're always taken care of, they have the government as a safety net. They're never allowed to truly fail. That and men, you know, there are a lot of simps out here who, you know, keep saving them. So stop saving them. Let the government save them. Walk, treat them like whores. And, you know, eventually they'll see the errors of the ways. But it's going to be something that they have to come to on their own. You can't do it. I don't have the power to do it. You don't have the power to do it. Just let them be whores.
So part of the reason a major part of the reason I did this is because there is this conversation floating out there about high-value women. And it's very unclear about what that is. So I wanted to sort of settle this. And so that any woman who claims to be high value, at least the man has some kind of blueprint to be able to measure that up. Because women are measuring a man to see if he's a high value man. And then she could just, like you said, Chris, a high value woman could be whatever she says it is. But you know what? Let's look at what women say a high value woman is, and do you actually measure up? You know, are you classy? Did you take care of yourself? You know, I get the whole thing about worth. If a woman says, I know my worth, then my response is, well, just tell me how much, and I'll tell you if I'm willing to pay that.
No, if she says that, run from that bitch immediately.
No. Chris, you're missing what I'm saying.
No, I get what you're saying. Technically,
I'm insulting her.
I am
technically insulting her. You tell me how much, and I'll tell you whether you're worth that, and I'm willing to pay it. And no matter what number she says, you know, there's a joke. Some guy is in a bar, and he walks up to a woman and says, "Hey, I'll have sex if I pay you $1. Will you have sex with me?" And she says, "Are you crazy? I'm not having sex for $1. What kind of woman do you think I am?" He said, "Well, we just established what kind of woman you are. I just want to find out how much I'm negotiating with you. So if it's not $1, what's the number?"
Right. Now we're down to negotiating the price.
Right. So I offered $1. You rejected my offer. So tell me what your offer is, and I'll tell you if you're worth it to me. So a woman who says her worth is like, well, things that have a worth, the market determines your worth, not you. So you tell me what you think you're worth, and I'll tell you if I'm willing to pay it. If it's $1, and I, you know, being funny, I'll give you $1. Let's go. You go home with me.
Every woman that I've known that have went to therapy, when they come out, so I ask them, so what did you get out of therapy? Well, I just you know, found out that I needed to realize my worth. And I'm like, what the fuck does that even mean? Like, really? You've been going to therapy for 6 months, and that's all you got just this ambiguous statement. You know, I need to realize my worth. Nothing else.
See, for me, Chris, that just says you're for sale, that you actually provide no value. that when a woman says my word, and I've told them this on Facebook and anywhere, some women have gotten upset. They're like, well, you know what I mean. I'm like, no, if you tell me you know your worth, I just want to know the price tag on your head, and I'll tell you. It's like the I probably get shut down if I play, but I think it was Jim Belushi on Saturday Night Live did a skit, and he said, Jane, you ignorant slut. I think that's if you Google or YouTube.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what skit you're talking about.
Yeah, he said, you know, you women walk around like you have with mattresses on your back. Why don't you just tell us how much, you know, and your meter's always going. So just tell us how much, you know, per minute or mile for your meter, and we'll tell you if we're willing to pay that. Just do that. Stop all this other nonsense. So that's what, like, your worth sounds like to me. You've got a meter, it's running. You want to, like a taxi, you're going to charge, and I'll tell you whether you're worth what you're claiming. And if men say, well, I don't think you're worth that, then they begin to understand the market determines that it's better if you provide value. That means you actually have to do something to generate value. You can't sit on your ass or lay on your back and open your legs. You actually have to do something that's valuable in that man's life. And they understand this for the workplace, and yet they still want – so they understand in the workplace they have to generate value and they get money in return, yet they want money from men and bills being paid and still don't believe they have to generate any value, which is odd to me. And it's only odd because most men comply. So they
get, like I said, right. There's too many simps out there, and I don't think I'm 100% positive they don't understand anything. I don't know. I had an earlier one. I had one tell me earlier today that cars were not a necessity, right? That cars were a privilege or right. And I said, well, that kind of depends where you live, because down south, you know, if you come down south, we don't have the public transportation that you may have in New York City. We don't have trains running everywhere. We don't have buses going everywhere. And your job may be, you know, it's not uncommon for your job to be 20, 30, sometimes, you know, 50, 60 miles away, right?
Right.
And she said, that's no excuse. I said, what? Excuse me? I said, so you're telling me that this person is supposed to walk 30, 40 miles a day to work every day? She's like, well, they can get a bike. I'm like, do you know how long it would take to bike 30, 40 miles a day? One way, right? And no matter what, I said, look, cars have been a staple of a society for so long that they're no longer a privilege. They are a necessity now. We need them. We can't roll back the clock and go back to the horse and buggy days because we don't have that time. You know, they're a modern convenience that is a necessity. And no matter what I said, she couldn't get it through her head because she lived in New York and she lost her driver's license and she's able to take the train and the bus everywhere she goes.
Interesting.
Yeah, they compartmentalized everything to them. And no matter how much you try to thoroughly explain it to them, they can't see the forest for the trees in front of their face.
See, that has a lot to do with intelligence.
Exactly. And then when you have one simp that comes along and just agrees with them, any progress that you were making to getting her to see the light is all erased, because all it takes is that one simp to validate them. And that one simp will exist. They'll always find that one simp, and I don't understand it.
What were you going to say, Country Boy?
Well, yeah, I was saying what Chris was saying is a true factual statement. And in regards to the simps, what they need to be designated to, Ted, is nothing but strictly the $10 prostitute. That's what they need to be messing with. They don't need to be messing with the how you say it, Chris, to mingling with the general population. They need to be strictly allowed to mess with them prostitutes, and we wouldn't have any problems. That's just my thinking now. Maybe you gentlemen can help me brainstorm on some things. But the simping, we got to cut this simping out. We got to root it out. We got to get it by the root.
Yeah, it's you're always going to have stuff, right? But what you need to do is reduce the numbers, right? And so
right.
That's what it needs to be. There needs to be the number of simps nowadays can't be, particularly since women have so easy access to them with their phones and social media, right? So these guys need to realize that, number one, simping isn't getting you any pussy. It's not getting you a wife. It's just costing you money. Stop it.
Well, I'm going to...
And then maybe... I'm sorry, go ahead, Ted.
No, go ahead. Keep going.
No, go ahead.
I'm going to say something really ugly. One of the things that you're seeing from simps is they spend all this money and get nothing. And do you know what some of these guys are doing?
What's that?
They're taking the lives of these women.
This is going to sound cruel. It's going to sound really fucked up. I'm okay with it.
Well, I mean, but do you get what I'm saying?
No, I get what you're saying. But
well,
see,
let them keep playing games, and the simps will learn harsh lessons. They'll take themselves out of society, and they'll take certain women out, and women will have to rethink. That's a long path, but it's a harsh lesson. It's a harsh way to go.
Right. And that's why I say I'm okay with it. If you can't understand life when it's being explained to you and how certain choices you're making are detrimental to your well-being, then I'm okay with whatever happens to you because of the choices you make, because you've accepted it.
Right.
You know, and then we see, just like we see all these women, you know, dating these thugs. Let's be real. They date the thugs because the thugs need them. A lot of these women, they won't date a man who's above them in stature because he doesn't need them. The thug is always dependent on them because he doesn't have any stability. So when they go to jail, they know he's dependent upon them for commissary or money like that. He's basically a son that they can fuck. But at the same time, they don't understand that you're playing Russian roulette, because when he's in jail, you're going to cheat. And you think you can cheat on him, you know, when he's in jail like you could, you know, a regular 9-to-5 guy when he goes to work. And sure, you have the opportunity to do so. You have the ability to do so. But what the difference is, the consequences you'll face for doing it. That thug, when he finds out, he's going to deal with you accordingly. He's been thugging his whole life. He's going to apply those same. He's going to thug it out with you too. And a lot of women have had their lives ended on live streams, and they still don't learn. So, whenever something bad happens to one, I'm okay with it, because you had examples of what not to do before you, and you still chose to do it. So, yeah. You like thug dick, and it costs you your life. I'm cool with it.
Well, they are where they believe they should be. So, hey guys, if you haven't smashed that like button, smash that. If you're not subscribed, subscribe to me. And I have a bit more I want to do on screen share. And this is so guys have a much deeper insight into this whole notion of high value and what. The more I reveal, the more you're going to see that most women just absolutely positively do not even come close to qualifying. And so these are the things. So are there some women who qualify? The numbers are probably small. Can women, and here's what I'm willing to bet. When you look at women who are high value, some man has trained them, and more than their father. But that would be a great starting point. it's more than their father. So, I mean, there's such vast differences between a high-value man and woman. And it seems wild because if they're both calling themselves high-value, like Tony G was saying, why couldn't you just switch the words? But it just didn't. Like, women are talking about loves and respects herself and not intimidated by high standards she imposes. Recap three is kind and compassionate, displayed to everyone, beauty within. Committed to learning and growth, best version of herself, intellectually and emotionally stable. And so there's one right there. If a woman is promiscuous, the penalty is going to be emotional instability is what's going to happen. So there are a ton of women who are out there being promiscuous, and that whole bond break that's happening with their brain by being with one man, bonding, even if it's a one-night stand, and then another man and then bonding and then break, because a woman has to secrete oxytocin and endorphins and dopamine just to be sexually active with a man. And then when she breaks it off, that over time becomes trauma to her brain, and that trauma makes her emotionally unstable. You guys have heard me say she gets to six different men. On number six, she's three times less likely to be in an emotionally stable relationship. So the higher that number goes over six, she just gets more and more out of control. Recap number, let's see, number five, self-aware and empathetic, not just what you say, how you say, grounded. Number, recap six, grounded in maturity. And there's another one that's just missing. Doesn't need to manipulate, no games. Recap seven, not afraid to speak her mind, not afraid to say no. Number recap eight, passionate, pursue what she loves, fervor, abundance. Number nine, she has class. There's another one that eliminates so many women. Number 10, cares for herself, committed to good health. There's another one that eliminates so many women. Number 11, embraces vulnerability.
Right. One factor in that is these women can't be taking their health into factor when they're having multiple babies by multiple men.
Exactly.
So if you're a woman, I don't care how much money you make. If you have multiple children by multiple men, you did not factor in your personal health. You did not say, well, what if this person has a disease or whatever, you know?
Bingo.
Even without a disease, even without that, you know, there's something called poor decision making. There's microchimerism. You know, there are all kinds of
things. Yeah, I was talking to Reggie about that earlier.
All kinds of things that happens in a woman's body, and she's just not educated. And then the neurobiology is not equal to a man, so she just is creating problems. And then for a man, so, you know, men, let's say men say, you know what? We're down. We're going to be traditional men across the board. And for a traditional man, you need to be a traditional woman. That's the only one who gets a traditional woman. And that means no one's been in your vagina, your uterus. Your uterus is clean. That's what a traditional man gets. That's
our fine effect. Yeah.
That means women are not going to be qualified, because if your uterus is clean, you are a virgin.
Another thing to factor in, gentlemen, the biologists say it takes 6 months for one man's semen to get acclimated to that woman's reproductive system.
Exactly.
So let that sink in for a minute.
Yep. Exactly. I did a show on that. I played the video with the woman who laid all of that out. I forget the name of that show, but that was a few months ago. And that's because a woman's body is like, it's fighting, it's rejecting, it's not even understanding, like, this new man. So, like, women's body are not designed for that. Number 11, embraces vulnerability. You can't be scared or coward and be vulnerable at the same time. So there's another thing that eliminates women. So if high value means embracing vulnerability, being emotionally brave, transparent, authentic, you can't play games and be authentic at the same time. Yeah, so here's an interesting thing that was said was people can't complain about simps, but I swear I saw people in the chat making passes at Ellen on Friday. And there were some of that, which was
I don't disagree with him. I don't disagree with him. But instead, I think if he's going to make that proclamation, I think he should be man enough to call those people out because he knows who he was. He was right there in chat with him. See, I don't like that. I don't like when people say, when they use loose terms like people. You know who it was. You just don't have the balls to call them out.
Well, like I said, this much to you.
I would call them out. If I seen him do it, if I was there and I seen him do it, I would call him out.
Now, I'm glad Chris brought that up. Now, I was just playing with that lady kid. You know I was playing with her, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I hope she listening. I wasn't playing. I wasn't being real serious with that lady because, you know, I don't know the lady from Adams. But I was saying to the lady that she does look like she's somebody who doesn't belong to the streets and that she looked like she needs to be married. That's what I was, that's what I was trying to say. You know,
yeah,
I wasn't trying to be nosy and then.
I understand.
So you had a woman on the show, right?
Not just a woman. This is a woman who lived with me. The name of the show was Do You Know How to Tame a Woman? So I brought her on to talk about how I tamed her and stripped her down. That's what the show is about, Chris.
Is she currently married?
No.
She's not tame. She's not tame.
The point was this, that she resisted. She was one of the first things that she said when I asked what was it like living with me. She said it was frustrating because I had rules, and she said no man had ever put rules on her, so she wasn't accustomed to that. So that was one of the things that I needed men to understand. So in the end, she benefited. And sometimes, as a man, I've said this before, and a lot of guys were like, no, I'm not doing that. Sometimes you have to do things for the next guy. You're going to check a woman, and you throw her back in, and the next guy will have an easier time. If every man
did
that.
That's why we say, and as ugly as it sounds, that's why we say the pussy is never yours. It's just your turn.
I'm saying something very different. If you throw her back in, like you catch a fish and you throw it back in, every man took a stand and said, I'm not tolerating this. This is how it goes. If you don't like it, leave. And if you don't leave, I throw you back in. She's going to think twice about her behavior. Like, so the woman I had on, her name is Ellen, she had been with men where she could get away with things. She even said to me once, she was upset. She said, I knew I should have never gotten involved with you. I knew, she said, other men never have a problem with me doing whatever I want, and you have a problem. You won't let me do these things. Why are you being so hard on me? What she said on the show, and you can look at it, she said I was the nastiest man she had ever met, that I was very mean and nasty, yet she didn't leave. And she said I have rules. And so for the next guy, unless the next guy is a simp, the next guy will have an easier time because even though she had her father there, her father was I hope, even if she's listening, she knows I'm not lying. Her father has no balls. So she didn't have to live by rules. She could get away with stuff. And so she dated men that let her do whatever she wanted, said whatever she wanted. And I didn't do that. So if every man took that kind of stand, then if every man did that, then when I would have met her, she would have been already accustomed to a man taking a stand and having rules, and she wouldn't have fought and resisted. She would have already understood the rules of engagement. She did not.
I understand what you're saying, but did she ever get married?
No, and look, it's been
he's not married now.
It's been 9 years since I threw her out. Here's what her problem is going to be. She's comparing every man to me, and she talks about me too much to everyone. So she's not probably ever going to get married.
Well, no, she's you know, a woman's ability to attract a husband, it has a shelf life. And if she over 40, if she's over 40, she can just unless she's looking for
she's born in the '80s, mid '80s. So she's
getting close to there. Right. But
she's
her chances of getting married are very slim. Very slim. So ultimately she's not tame. She still has she knows what to get in a woman. She doesn't have to get a man like you. Right? There are lots of intelligent men out there that aren't, you know, intelligent men that are doing well for themselves, that are in shape, that aren't Ted Santos.
Yep.
That's true.
And
he's that's
not
lady
going
particular
to,
though.
Go ahead, Kendrick.
I was going to ask you, Chris. Can such a person like that be rehabilitated back into the general public though?
See, what I'm getting at, Kendrick, and your question is perfect. It's every man's job to do that. See, if only a small percentage of men take that kind of stand, then women will think, well, they can just go off to the next man. So I don't know what Ellen did when I kicked her out. I don't know if she went and found a simp. I don't know. Like, she's half Asian.
I'm 100% positive she found a simp.
She's half Asian and half Dominican. So she's got a unique look. People will like it, and she uses it to her benefit. But as you're saying, eventually that runs out, right? So then she's going to just be out there in the cold.
And let's be real, she's from New York. She's from New York, and most New York men are feminine as fuck.
She's not from New York. She's not. She's from South America. She's from South America.
Well, she lives in New York.
Lives in New York, but she's not. She grew up and was
born. That's what I mean. She lives in New York, so she's surrounded by effeminate men. So to say, I'm 100% positive she wouldn't got a simp, or you know, she got she wouldn't got. She started dating the men that she was used to dating before she met you, and that's why. And she was maybe trying to turn them into you, to a version of you, I would say, because that's what women do. They take these men that are, you know, not doing well for themselves or whatever, and they try to turn them into the boardroom pookie.
Right.
The boardroom Harvard grad pookie.
Well, So. Yeah, I mean, I'm just
so I'm pretty sure she's had a couple. She's had her bites at the apple. She probably had another guy who was maybe of your stature try to marry her. She turned him down.
I wouldn't doubt that. Like that, she probably maybe didn't get involved. But I have no clue. I didn't ask her. I have never had that conversation with her. I just didn't care enough to know.
Right.
So,
but yeah, it's ultimately women, you know, they walk around with a six shooter shooting themselves in the foot, you know, all the time. And every time they shoot pull that trigger, they say patriarchy, right? And then eventually, you know, that cylinder runs out of bullets. And what do? They just reload it, put six more patriarchy bullets in there, and shoot themselves in the other foot.
I understand. But men don't hold them to standards. This is why they self-sabotage They don't need anyone else to do it. They can shoot themselves in the foot, and men are not holding women to standards.
No, they're too busy still trying to protect them. And that's why I say stop doing it. Let them, they're taxpaying citizens, let them have what they want. Let them do what they want.
Yeah, but
they don't
want to
get married.
I'm not talking about that. Men don't hold them to standards. You don't hold them, and if they don't meet the standards, if they won't live within the standards you put on the table, then they have to go.
And that's true.
If you do that enough times, that is a harsh lesson to learn. Because that is part of learning and guiding. And if you don't do that, and you let them just go out and crash and burn, they won't learn anything that way. They will have learned nothing. They won't. They'll play victim and say it's all your fault. Men made this. You all should know.
It's my fault if you chose to do such and such.
You can't blame me. Yes, they can, because that's what they will do. They already do it.
I'm talking about you personally. How you going to blame me for you going to the bar, getting drunk, and going out and killing somebody in a car accident? How you going to blame me for that?
Okay, I'm going to play a video to answer that question. I'm going to play one to answer that, honestly. I'm going to use a psychologist. He will break it down and help you understand that. But they will do that because they're already doing that. Like, men need to be paid.
They are already doing it. It's the same way these women have unprotected sex. They let the guys go up in them raw. And then when they get pregnant, they say, well, he should have wore a condom.
Exactly. They'll play victim. This is what you have to get. You can talk all the way it should be. You need to understand what's actually happening. And if you hold them to a higher standard and don't let them, because then once they play victim, they're changing the subject. They won't deal with, hey, who's responsible for your womb? Well, he should know who's responsible for your womb. That's the only conversation I want to have. That's it. You don't argue about what the guy did or didn't. Your body. Are you going to let the guy put food in your mouth that you don't want? No. You protect your taste buds and your stomach.
Here's the bottom line, though. If someone wants to constantly escape accountability, right, and they want to do it verbally, there's nothing you can do to make them suddenly accept or take that accountability. We've tried that.
Here's what men did in the 70s. Men in the 70s believed that if women ran to feminism, they would crash and burn and come back. So that's the same strategy, and we have proof it didn't work in the 70s. And so why repeat this?
But it works. You know, it works in other cultures.
The other cultures didn't let it in. They held it. They held a woman to a different standard. They didn't do that.
Those that did embrace the culture, they exiled them. They let them crash and burn, and whatever happened to them. As a matter of fact, they punished them once they crashed and burned.
They punished them. Period. They said, this is not acceptable. This is the standard. This is the only standard we are willing to accept in our homes. And if you violate that, there's a penalty. They never let it in.
And the penalty was death in a lot of those countries.
The men who let it in said, okay, well, now they'll crash and burn. That didn't work. The men who said, we don't let this in, this is the standard, period. Do not violate that.
They did let it in because there's always been a modicum of feminism over in the Middle East countries. They just didn't let it. But the majority of women saw what would happen to those women, the other women, the feminists, and they didn't want that for themselves. But there had to be an example.
Not in the 70s. No way. All you have to do is look at
There were women over there in some of those Arab countries that were fighting, and they fought and they were finally able to get their driver's license and buy cars.
Right,
that's why nowadays...
This is 90s and 2000. I'm telling you, in the 70s, just look at Iran. Look at Iran before... If you look at Iran down into the 70s, they were dressing just like us in the 60s, just like the United States. And then when they saw feminism coming, they said, that's it. There's a wall. We built a wall. Now you ladies have to dress like Muslims, and that's it. We're not letting it in, period. And if you violate that, you'll be punished.
Iran is just one country. Saudi Arabia said, that's okay.
They all did it. They all did it. They were all, the rest of them were already dressing like that. They put up a wall to it. They did not accept it. They did not. It took decades for it to, this whole driving and all. It took decades for that to happen. But initially, they stood up to it and set a standard. And they held that standard. And they gave a little bit. Okay, we'll let you drive. Okay, we'll let this. But, you know, you can get an education, but that doesn't mean that you neglect your home. I'm not letting that happen. You have children. If you think working for a job is more important than your children, then get the hell out of here. I'm not marrying you. And the fathers...
Right. And those aren't the, you know, those weren't just the consequences they were facing. I mean, they were...
I understand. What you have to get is they put a standard up, and if you violated it, then it was consequences. The communities that didn't hold the standard, those men got their asses kicked. And they thought that, well, if we let them run off, they'll come back. They had no consequences, no standards. They just let it happen. And now that is the perpetual solution that let them crash and burn. They thought they were going to crash and burn in the 70s by the 80s, and it didn't work. It's the same thing. I watched it with my own eyes. They'll come back.
No, I agree with you. Let them crash and burn isn't going to solve anything. You know, it's the only thing you can do is just walk away. Like I said, they're like, it's like Pandora's box. They were in Pandora's box. The box got open. They got out. Now the only thing left in the box still is hope. Hope that they'll come back to the mosque, but they're not coming back. And there's no way that we can collapse society right now, and they'll still just sit around, wait for society to get rebuilt and act the same way. They don't understand anything.
So this is why I did the show Friday, and I had the woman come on because I held a standard. There was a standard in my home. There's a standard in the way you engage me, and that's it. And there were consequences if you violated. And so the way she came in is not the way she went out. This was my standard, and that was her frustration in the beginning, that I had rules, and she didn't like that. She liked the way I treated her, but I had rules, and I was mean about the execution of my rules. I didn't play. And if men
evidence you have that your rules are what she's still measuring other men by is her words, and I don't trust that.
I don't even care. No, listen, I'm consistent with anyone. It will tell you the same. That I don't know if this is something to brag about, but they will all tell you that I'm very mean and very harsh. But I'm caring at the same time. So I'm an asshole who's affectionate and caring, but I'm an asshole first.
But you sound like you're successful with these women.
I believe you, but what I'm saying is that I'm pretty sure that's not what she's looking for now. I'm pretty sure she's reverted right back to what she was doing before she dated you.
Okay, so
because she realized that it was actual work being in a relationship with you. You know, if she had to bring something to the table, she had to fulfill her end of the bargain. You know what I mean?
Well, here's what she also said. in the end, she saw how she benefited. It's not that it was hard work, but she couldn't be who she normally was. Like, her brain probably fried. Like, she had to grow a completely new neural path to be able to deal with me. That's what creates frustration and confusion, because you don't even have a brain that knows how to be in this situation. So if every man did that, they'd have nowhere to go except pack their bag, move to an island, and do their own thing. That's what I'm saying, Chris. If every man took that kind of stand, they'd have nowhere to go. They'd have no choice. And that's what happens in the Middle East. Even in Latin America. In the U.S., DR, like DR, they turn their women into prostitutes early. A lot of Latin America.
Even Brazil.
In DR, you could be 14 years old dating a 30-year-old guy, and he's giving you money to buy stuff. And your parents know that you're dating him and he's giving you money. And everyone's okay with that. So now they expect, that's what they expect. They're like, that's Pavlov's dog. I date you, I have sex, you're going to give me money and buy me stuff, right? So that's one of the biggest problems with DR. They have poor training at a young age. But they have consequences for their women, though. It'll do. You better believe it. The guys from here who go down there who don't understand how to incorporate those consequences, and they let women get away with things just like they did here. So they get exploited.
Right. I don't understand that. They say they're sick of the women here, right? But then they go to those countries and they pay those women to treat them like the women do here.
Nicer, though. They do it nice. They do it in a feminine way.
Right. Just don't tell me to suck your dick while you're siphoning all my money out of my pocket and I'm cool with it, you know? But
Right. Look, there are – I still want to lay this out. There's a video I want to play, and this is alux.com. And Alux, and, you know, Fair Use Act, I'm only using this for educational purposes. I don't own the rights to this. I'm doing this to critique education. That's what this is about. So Alux, I like this site because – they are very much about building wealth they talk about all kinds of wealth building strategies, and they just happen to do one that's on the 15 signs of a high value woman. You're going to hear some of the feminism in it, but you're also going to hear how most women don't even come close to being a high value. They're just saying it like it's when I was young, they used to talk about working hard, and then somewhere, I guess in the 80s, they start talking about do your passions. And so we live in a society that lives by buzzwords. And when that buzzword goes out of fashion, they find another one to replace it. So this high-value man and high-value woman are, I'm asserting, they're just fads that we're going through, and they're just buzzwords that people use, and they use them without really comprehending what they're talking about. And as you said, Chris, a high-value man is whatever they say it is, even though it has nothing to do with it. So my intent is to bring some clarity. So I want to play this so people can have better clarity. So if a woman claims in any way, whether it's implied or you know, whether it's explicitly stated, that you have a better perspective on it than she does. And I think most women do not know what high-value man or woman is. So I want to play this.
Welcome back, Aluxers. What's a high-value woman? Simply put, she's a trendsetter without trying. She's not afraid to be herself. She's an Aluxer. Okay, that's just three signs. Let's take a look at 15 more. Number one, a high-value woman knows her worth. Aluxers, there's a beautiful quote which says, your value doesn't decrease based on someone's inability to see your worth. It perfectly summarizes what a high-value woman is all about. She doesn't allow herself to become a doormat for the emotions of others. She doesn't let people walk all over her. She doesn't give them the time or energy to wipe their dirty feet on her. And she definitely doesn't allow shit to trap itself on her while waiting for someone else to clean it up. A high-value woman knows what she's worth, even if you don't. Number two, she's high-value for herself and not for anyone else. Ever tried to make a change for the benefit of someone else? Pretty difficult, isn't it? However, when you decide to make a change for yourself, it's often easier to maintain it in the long run. And a bonus, you feel even more proud of yourself, as you should. A high-value woman doesn't base her decisions on what other people think about her. She lives her life the way she wants to, with good morals, high values, and kindness, always. And Aluxers, remember to subscribe to our channel. We love walking this journey with you every day. Number three, she leads by example. A high-value woman isn't going to go around telling people how they should and shouldn't behave. She's not about that life. What she's about is leading by example. We just mentioned that she has good morals, high values, and demonstrates kindness. And by living her life like this all the time, inspires others to better themselves. Number four, she never stops learning. No high-value woman will ever pretend that they know it all. They're open to new teachings, new ideas, concepts, thoughts, and ideologies. Decisions are never tunnel-based. They're based on a plethora of knowledge from many angles. If you go to a high-value woman for advice, you can be guaranteed that she's dispensing it from a place of love, kindness, respect, and deep thought. She's curious and fascinated by the world around her. She asks questions. She respects the teacher and passes on her findings. She doesn't keep the value and knowledge all to herself, but rather shares it to watch others grow and thrive too, which brings us to our next point. Number...
So... You know, if I say that statistic again, that 43% of college graduates never read another book, that's a huge number. So that's a lot of women, people who are just don't continue to learn. And so, you know, I said this before, you can read the best books in the world about bodybuilding. You will not win a bodybuilding contest by only reading. You have to get in the gym and train. You have to get somewhere where you have weights. And the best bodybuilders actually have a trainer that can get them beyond what they know how to do on their own, just like an Olympic athlete has a trainer or a coach. So there are lots of women who do not have this commitment to learn. And sometimes when they do meet a guy who can teach them things, they fight it. And that was the other reason I had Ellen come on, because in the end, she learned things, except she resisted learning. Like, this whole notion that women have that they're smarter than men, and they squander great opportunities, learning opportunities with men, because they're so focused on actually believing they're smarter than every man they meet.
Right. They fight men while they're you know, being taught, and then when they finally come to the realization that they actually learned something, they don't realize they stunted their growth, because
right.
They could have learned so much more if they hadn't fought him in the first place.
Exactly. And I've told her more than once, you squandered your opportunity with me. You know, whatever you learned is nothing compared to what you could have. So, and if,
but that's if, I want to. That's it's partly because our fault, because we don't. I think most men are scared to tell them the truth, that they're the inferior of the species, which is the truth. We are sexually dimorphic species, where you have one gender that's clearly superior and the other one that's inferior. And most men are scared to admit that to women because they're scared to hurt their feelings. We are superior to them.
And, you know, there are some other statistics out there that are showing that society's been lying to men. And maybe this is part of the thing that hurts men. We've been told that we are so violent. But technically, when you look at the statistics and domestic violence and abuse, it is women who are more violent than men. So nature must have understood something, that the way our brains work and their brains work, they are more prone to use violence, and men have brains that are more prone to use logic. But if you get us beyond a certain threshold, you can't stop our violence. We're out of control. So nature knew that they were the more violent one, and so we were stronger. If men were weaker than men, there'd be a lot more women killing men, beating them to death.
Yes, because the most violent relationships in society, I don't care what women say about men, when they run to these women and get into these lesbian relationships, the most violent relationships in society are always women on women.
Yep, no question. I think it's about 27% for heterosexual of the relationships are violent. For lesbians, it's 44%. That's almost double. I mean, that's outrageous.
Yeah.
So, yep. So, listen, I need men, like you're saying, men can't be afraid to call women out. So if you claim you're high value, right, you're missing a mark in so many different, we can talk about where you're missing the mark, but don't present yourself as high value if you didn't do the work. I'm not going to accept that. So especially if you want to be.
I'll even throw another caveat in there, and it can be argued down easily. All men are high value, and there are no women that are high value. And here's why I say that. Because if society was to crumble right now, it would be the men doing the heavy lifting and the rebuilding and the protecting everybody from animals while we did it and putting society back together while the women just stood by, all the women stood by, cooked and cleaned, right? All those lesbians who think they're strong, who you got these women now who drive these automatic semi-trucks, and they think because they drive an automatic semi-truck that they're just as equal a driver as the guy over there actually shifting gears, and they're not, right? But once all the modern conveniences go away and we have nothing, we're left to nothing but our own natural abilities, women will see how much superior men are to them. So men are actually, all men are actually high value because we're that fire extinguisher behind the glass, you know, break in case of emergency. Well, when emergencies happen, you'll find out exactly how much you need men and how useless you are.
And the pandemic is opening the door for that, so. And it seems like it's not over.
You want to hear something funny? You want to hear something funny? I just seen this right before this call. So Denny's, remember what I told you about how, women create problems for themselves that they don't realize they'll just be automated out of the workforce, you know? Denny's now has robot pancake makers. These robots come to your table, and you literally, like, punch in how many pancakes you want, and this fucking thing just makes the pancakes right there for you. So now you don't have to have, a waitress bringing you your pancakes. This fucking robot drives right up to your table and gives you your pancakes.
Right, yep. Look, Chris, AI is going to make a bunch of jobs. Like, yes, waitresses, but I'm talking about in finance, legal. There are a bunch of jobs, HR. There are a bunch of jobs that are going to be wiped out by AI. And most of those jobs are women.
Yes.
So that, and they don't see that coming. They don't even see it coming.
No, that's why I say let them be whores. They're just they're just preparing themselves for their future employment.
Well, that's why I say let them go have their own island, you know, call it Whore Island, Prostitute Island. The pirates will show up. Eventually, it'll be the tourist attraction. And number one tourist attraction will be the whorehouse. That's it. That's how they'll make money.
Yeah.
They could be successful if they don't, but, you know, we'll figure out ways to get them to spend it. So we'll kill them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. You know, the pirates will have a bottle of perfume that they sell, right? So they'll give them money to have sex, and then the minute they climb off them, they'll sell them a $200 bottle of perfume and walk right out the door with their money back in their pocket.
Exactly. All right, so let me play more of this.
To lift others up. Every high, she knows how to. She knows. Which brings us to our next point. Number five, she knows how to lift others up.
So there are a lot of women who don't do this well. And when it says others, I assume they're not just talking about female empowerment, lifting others up. You live in a world with men, women, and children. So a lot of women are failing in this regard. CDC is finding a lot of violent mothers in this country. So you cannot be a high-value woman if you're constantly berating your children, especially if you're telling him he's going to be just like his ancient father. Not a high-value woman.
Every high-value woman knows that her role is to help others rise, like one high-value woman, Maya Angelou, once said.
See, that this help others rise, this is a major part of motherhood.
If you get, give. If you learn, teach. High-value women know that they're not successful alone and that others' successes are also cause for celebration. She doesn't feel jealous or insecure when others do well and shares their wins as if they were her own. Number six, she treats everyone as equals.
All right, now this is interesting. All right, so here we go.
Everyone is equal, whether they're a waiter, a cleaner, or a CEO of a company. It doesn't matter to her. She will always greet that person and look them in the eyes when saying hello. She has no need to come across as superior to anyone else. She understands that everyone has walked the journey and they can never be judged until A, you've walked the mile in their shoes, or B, you've taken the log out of your own eye before removing the speck from another. Number seven, she stands up for the vulnerable. Hillary Clinton once said, let's continue to stand up for those who are vulnerable to being left out or marginalized. And that right there, A-Luxers, is what we're referring to. You'll know who high-value women are. They're the ones standing up and giving a voice to the voiceless, making sure the vulnerable or marginalized are heard, seen, and accounted for.
She also talked about super predators, but that's another story.
And often, she's initially standing there alone because she's fearless, but her enigmatic approach will soon have an army of supporters standing beside her. Number eight, a high-value woman knows she's not entitled to anything.
Okay, now that number eight, she knows she's not entitled to anything. What percentage of women get wiped out on this one? There aren't many left after.
I'm going to say about 95%.
Communism. So Tony G said it's like a... you're watching an advertisement for communism.
It is.
So she's not entitled to anything. And this is a very interesting one. So for all the men out there, if you ask a woman, do you consider yourself to be high value? then the next thing you can say, do you realize or are you aware that high-value women know that they're not entitled to anything, nothing? And she'll say more about that.
The world does not owe her anything, as the feminine women write.
That Chris, those are the exact words I told my mother when I was 16, and she blew up like a volcano. She didn't like that. I didn't say entitled. I said the world owes you nothing. If you want it, go get it. I said, and my father owes you nothing either. And man, she was not happy. But so this entitlement, and I didn't understand entitlement in that context. I just knew about owing something.
Men don't owe you anything.
See, men don't owe you anything. And she says women don't owe men anything. But so this is the point that high-value women need to understand. Men owe you nothing. Like this whole thing that you hear about women saying, well, I had to go buy an outfit to go on a date with you, and I had to get my nails. It's, look, if you're ugly, just let me know that. Show up so I can see how you look. Don't go out and buy all this stuff. And just because you bought an outfit to go out with me doesn't mean I need to give you money for it. I need to replace. Like, that's irrelevant. I'm going out with you to get to know you. That technically, we should be able to sit in a room. And, you know, that'd be a – imagine a business. You buy a small building. And you break it up into rooms, and you put like a chair and table and a couch in a room, no television, no entertainment, no pool tables, nothing. Come in this room, you come in this place to have a date, and you're just going to sit in a room and talk. And if the woman is not down with that, then she's, one, does she believe she's entitled to you spending money? You know, and what's her intention? Like, what is she really looking for? So, you know, well, I'll address that. They're going to, what, 30% of women go out on dates for food. So, you know, that can't be high valued if you feel entitled to that.
Women don't owe men.
Or you can't afford your own food.
Right. I think it's Sweden, like, first date, all dates are Dutch. That's just their culture. Like, there's no entitlement of a man owing you dinner. If you can't pay your own, then you shouldn't be in that restaurant. And maybe you shouldn't be dating that kind of guy.
Sure, your value is earned, not handed over on a silver platter. Earned. High-value women ensure their value is earned, not handed over on a silver platter. And if the high-value woman does receive generosity, she also gives generosity. Nothing is expected. Things are received with grace, and a giving philanthropic nature is part of her makeup.
Wow, I mean, there's so many women that are far cry from that. You know, they expect, and they don't believe they have to do anything in return. They even tell you, I'm the prize. So this is a problem.
Yeah, they take, I'm the prize. I am the table. What do you bring to the table? I am the table.
What?
Really?
That's cool that you're just an object. I'm okay with that. If you want to be treated like an object, I'm okay with that. I'm just going to place my computer here. Just don't move.
Suppressing her thoughts is not for nine. She speaks up for herself. Suppressing her thoughts is not something a high-value woman does. She speaks what's on her mind and has no problem in expressing her thoughts and feelings. She's well aware that not everyone will like what she has to say, but she speaks with such diplomacy that they easily will share her point of view. She's authentic, honest, and tactful. She knows what her boundaries are and is not afraid to say no. Remember what we said in our video, 15 Life Hacks for the Modern Lady. The modern lady is the woman who has her shit together. And Aluxers, that includes learning how to speak up for yourself, because nobody else is going to do that for you. Number 10, a high-value woman never
Right there. Pause for 1 second. So right there, she said the modern, she said they have their shit together, right?
Right.
So that also includes most modern women. because the drug and alcohol abuse rates in them is so high now that they need those as coping mechanisms.
As
because they don't have their shit together.
As well as heroin. That's the other one.
Right. As a matter of fact, people don't realize that that's the reason why a lot of things are being legalized, you know, the reason why they're finally legalizing cannabis. It's not because, you know, they like to say, because white men can now make a profit. No, it's not. It's because more and more women are actually addicted to cannabis because they need it. They need it to escape reality. They need to get high because they can't deal with life because their lives are so horrible.
Yeah, it's right. They're not dealing with what they claim they wanted.
Yeah, you wanted all this stuff. We gave it to you. Well, we didn't even give you all of it. We just gave you a portion of what you asked for, and you can't handle that.
Exactly. Abuse. So it's the point is not the women in the video. It is. And especially look at this number 10. Watch what they say about number 10. This will disqualify a lot of women from being high value. This is for all the women who claim to be high value. When you really look at what high value is, most women don't qualify for it. So they may feel that I'm a high value woman and I'm entitled to a high value man. But when we really look at what is a high value woman, based on what a woman is saying in the video, most women don't qualify. And number 10 is going to be a good one for that.
In fact, a high-value woman doesn't even need a big bank balance. A high-value woman never flaunts her wealth. In fact, a high-value woman doesn't even need a big bank balance to be high-value because it isn't about the money when it comes to value. However, should she be wealthy, it's not something you'll be reminded of. It's stashed, not flashed.
Okay. Now, look at the amount of women all throughout social media that take photographs of them holding an expensive designer purse or shoes. This is saying high-value women don't want that. So if you pay $10,000, even $1,000 for a purse, and you're taking pictures to show that, that is a way of flaunting it. Someone was able to get you to spend 10 grand for a purse. And as you said a few days ago, Chris, women are not doing that to attract men. That's to compete against other women. So if they're taking pictures with this purse, high-value women don't do that. There's a story, this is decades ago, Oprah went into some store and she saw a tube of lipstick and she said, oh, wow, that is such a beautiful shade color, that lipstick. How much is it? And they said, well, it's $100. And Oprah was already a billionaire. When they said $100, she said, oh, my God, I can't afford that. I'm not paying $100 for a tube of lipstick. And she turned around and walked away. But there are lots of women who will spend $10,000 on a purse, and they're a teacher, and they can't actually afford that. I mean, I know of one woman who has about $75,000 in purses. She doesn't make that kind of money. So it's the women who can't afford that who are flaunting stuff. You know, that's not high value.
And don't get us wrong, she enjoys her wealth, but it's done in an understated and graceful manner. Number 11, she has etiquette and manners. Aluxers, we're tying this one up with our video 15 Traits of the Superior Man, where we mentioned the same point. We reiterate what we said there because it applies to both a superior man and a high-value woman, any kind of person looking to bring value to society. Being polite today means you're being fake. Manners don't matter because manners don't serve you.
Okay. This is also extremely important. Etiquette and manners. There was a time where it was very popular for a girl to go to charm school to learn etiquette and manners. You sit at a table and it has 7 spoons and 4, you know, they had to know which ones and they They learn etiquette, poise. They learn to walk. They learn the proper way to speak. And that has been thrown out the window. Maybe they say that's the patriarchy and they shouldn't have to do that. If they want to curse like sailors, they should be allowed to do that. Except this is saying high-value women understand, carry, and exist in the world with manners and etiquette. And Tony G, you're saying that eliminating, well, yes, women can eliminate competition with this kind of video. Like a bunch of women can now be looked down on because they technically don't measure up. And it's so easy. If men know what to look for, it's easy to see when a woman doesn't qualify.
Both a superior man and a high-value woman, any kind of person looking to bring value to society. Being polite today means you're being fake. Manners don't matter because manners don't serve you, the number one most important person in the world. But manners and etiquette aren't about you. It's about everybody else. There's a grace to going through life, and the superior man understands this grace. The wine tastes different when we drink from a wine glass rather than a cup. Society is calmer when we treat our elders with respect, not because of their age, but because of how much of what life is they have in them. Number 12, she takes responsibility.
This is kryptonite.
So the talking point before about them respecting elders, they don't respect elders. You have more women now in their 20s thinking that they can tell men in their 40s and 50s how life works, how things work, and if you don't agree with them, they'll tell you you don't know anything. Even though you've got more experience because of your time spent on this planet than them. You have more experience in life, but you don't know more than them.
And that goes back to believing they're smarter than men.
Right. They honestly believe the bullshit that Hollywood puts out. Hollywood puts out that, you know, men are dumb. We need them to come save the day. You know, we can't handle children without them being around. And you have some husbands, white men, who actually live up to that stereotype, who actually perpetuate that stereotype, and they're proud to – they go around boasting about it, like, happy wife, happy life, you know, like, you idiot. Like, their happiness is always temporary. It's never permanent. You can't do anything to please one of them longer than half an hour.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so you have this sect of men that play up into it, but for the most part, it's Hollywood bullshit that they all buy into.
Yeah. And the thing that men need to be able to say is, your happiness is not my responsibility. It's not my job. And this number, this one here, is about responsibility. This is an Achilles heel. It's kryptonite. And just listen to how she lays out responsibility. And it is going to disqualify so many women. I mean, the entitlement, you said that wipes out 95% of women. This is going to be just another one for that 95%.
Number 12, she takes responsibility. And here, Aluxers, we mean this in every sphere possible. She takes care of her family. They are always her priority. She ensures her love.
So take care of her family. They're always her priority. There was a woman. Oh, damn it. She was the CEO of, I don't know how it just left my mind. She was the CEO of some luxury apparel company, and then Apple hired her to run the retail stores. And I read an interview by her before Apple even hired her. And throughout the article, they were asking her what her priorities were. This is a woman who is the CEO of a big company, luxury apparel. And the company was big enough for Apple to hire her to run the retail store division. She said, my priorities go in this order. The first thing I want to be good at is being a good wife. The second one is to be a good mother. We have two daughters. The third one is to be a good CEO. And throughout the article, she said that several times, that that's how she prioritizes her life. I would assume feminists would have a problem with that. How could you put your husband first? You're a CEO and men don't do that, blah, blah. They would just go on. But she made it very clear, and it sounded like she was being responsible and knowing that she's a CEO and she has, you know, quite a few responsibilities with her job. But her husband and her daughters, she said, came first. Now, I don't know how that translated into real life on practical terms, but the fact that she said it, I thought was a really big deal.
They're always her priority. She ensures her loved ones' needs are looked after. She's held accountable for her mistakes. She says sorry. She shows up. New York Times bestselling.
So she says sorry, right? there are jokes all over the internet that if a woman admits she's wrong, a man should run, which is, that gets to what you were saying, Chris, that men are like these bumbling idiots who are afraid of women. And if she admits that she was wrong, as a man, you should be afraid. Like, these are, that defies being responsible.
Who's up? New York Times bestselling author Sharon Salzberg aptly puts it like this. Taking responsibility for oneself is, by definition, an act of kindness. But how does a high-value woman do this? Let's find out. Number 13, she takes care of herself.
And there goes a whole bunch of women who have not taken care of themselves at all. And then when you add what you said, Chris, alcoholics, drug addicts, using heroin, they're drinking too much, they have to use, they need a stimulus to cope with the life they claimed they wanted.
You ever see that movie, The Separate Wives?
Well, I saw the original. I didn't see the remake.
Right. Well, the original remake was pretty much the same thing, but it sounds like this is one of the videos that they used to program those Separate Wives. Just feed them a bunch of bullshit.
Yep.
Number 13, she takes care of herself. You know how when you board a plane and the flight attendant tells you to put on your own mask before assisting others? Because what good are you to be in helping others when you're passed out on the aisle of the plane? It's the same for a high-value woman. She needs to ensure her own well-being is looked after. And we're not just speaking of aesthetics, although they are important and add value to her. We are taking into account her mental, emotional, and physical health. These are all parts of what makes a woman or any person high value. Number 14, she doesn't settle for second best.
Yeah, there are a lot of women who, when it came to getting married, they had to get the guy off the bench, second or third string. So, as you were saying,
yeah,
Chris,
because that was their worth. That was what they were worth. They were only worth a second or third string.
Right. Between 18 and 25, they could have gotten first string and they missed it. So
they could have got number one draft pick and they missed it.
That's what I mean, right. They would have gotten number one, and by 30, they're number two. 35, they get number three, and after that, they're praying.
Some might label her as picky or difficult, but those descriptions don't really worry a high-value woman. They roll off her like water off a duck's back. She would rather wait for the right partner than settle for an inferior version to alleviate some loneliness. Not only does she look after her own best interests by doing this, but she also doesn't waste the potential partner's time and energy knowing that they're not quite the right match. And Aluxers, coming up shortly, we'll tell you how you can become a high-value woman yourself. But first, number 15, a high-value woman is present. The beauty about meeting a high-value woman is that when you converse with her, she's 100% focused on what you're saying. She's never reaching for her phone, interrupting you, or making you feel like you're wasting her time.
So this is for the women who want to interrupt you in the middle of your sentence, and I don't know if it's because they think what they have to say is more important or they just were not listening, they were only listening to respond. This is saying that's not the high-value woman. So there are, I get the feminist aspect of it, but there are some just really simple, and I won't even call them common sense, because if it was common sense, it would be done. But there are just some really simple ways of conducting yourself in society that have just missed, like women have missed these the memo is the corny way. They just didn't get the memo. So they were told they can do what they want, when they want, with whomever they want. And some women are learning the hard way. You know, they're going to be spinsters, a lot more spinsters in society.
She's never reaching for her phone, interrupting you, or making you feel like you're wasting her time. She's right there in the thick of the conversation, listening with intent. Even Mother Teresa knew the importance of being in the moment. She said, be happy in the moment. That's enough. Each moment is all we need, not more. So, Aluxers, what do you think we could add to this list of signs of a high-value woman? We always value your input in the comments section. Now, since you stuck with us until the end, here's that bonus we mentioned. How do you become a woman of high value? Well, it's not that complicated, it's not difficult, and it's not rocket science. A high-value woman isn't born, she's self-made. If these feats seem impossible, we're here to tell you that they're not. Work on small parts to begin with, and when you start seeing positive change, you'll be eager to continue becoming that high-value woman that you are. Thanks.
So I'm willing to assert that for a woman to really become high value with anything on that list, she needs to be trained by a man, not another woman.
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing. Unless she's by the side of a man, she'll never be considered high value. By the side of a competent man.
Exactly. This is, I guess that's what's being missing. And then you get the reinforcement by a much older woman who has already been trained by men. So that is, you get the older women who will reinforce that. But a man has to do this. It's not, she just said like this magical, you know, you just do it yourself. It's just not working that way. Women's brains don't work that way. They're going to go off the rails at some point.
Right. So read a few of the comments in that video. I'd be interested to see hear some of the comments on that video. I wonder if there's any pushback to any of the things that were stated in there from the women.
Okay. So let's see. The first one is, a high-value woman definitely knows where to draw the line. That's what they got out of the whole thing. Let's continue to stand up for those who are vulnerable to being left out or marginalized. Be happy in the moment. That's enough. Each moment is all we need, not more. As a woman, I can say this is an amazing video and quotes. Thank you for sharing and have a good afternoon. She is honest and shows tolerance towards other, no matter how strongly she disagrees. A high-value woman doesn't wait for others to validate her. She validates herself. Some of the comments are trying to force humble women into not acknowledging that they are high-value. Stop forcing humble women. Another one, sounds like my grandma. She used to work from home back in the 80s. She wrote several articles for magazines like Women's Era. She almost started her own company once, Pure Confidence and Knowledge. Rest in peace. Another is, these are basically 15 signs of a high-value human being. Another one is, a couple of years ago, I would have flunked this. Interesting. So I'll say that again. A couple of years ago, I would have flunked this. I am so glad to say that I have changed, found my self-esteem, and I am well on the way to being what I should have been 40 years ago. Never too late. Okay?
Did you say 40 years ago?
Say yes. 40.
Wow.
Someone says, a high-value woman doesn't need to use vulgar language. She has manners and is confident enough to speak politely. So that's someone who got more out of it than I need to be strong and independent, right? Here's one interesting. Let's see if it's long. Yeah, kind of. I truly love this video. This popped up on my notification at the perfect time in my life. Sometimes I let pop culture define the value of a woman. I'm glad she said that, because that's what I've been saying. Most of the things people say are just pop culture. Even these things that people think they're saying from a psychology perspective, like you need to just get over it and move on, that's pop culture, and it's horrible advice. So she goes, she said,
Echo chambers are nothing more than safe spaces for women.
Wait, say that again?
Echo chambers are nothing more than safe spaces for women.
Okay. She says, sometimes I let pop culture define the value of a woman, even though I know going old school will always be of high value. And then this video posted, and it gave me confidence of how I approach life, because it resonated with all of the values. This is why I sacrifice love for the most part, because it's important to value yourself as a woman, which is why I love this channel. I have listened to everything that you had said from this channel. I'm a loyal Aluxer. I have bought all the books you said to buy, which is Transform. I finished Good Portion, blah, 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 Rich Dad, blah. Okay. It sounds like it ends with that transform my life completely. It has taken me out of debt slavery mindset, and I am forever grateful. Well, good she said that, because a lot of women are in debt. I love this channel so much. I can always count on Alux to provide quality information. I went through this video with delight, as I can say that I'm truly a high value woman. Interesting. It has been further confirmed by this video. There was nothing in the list that I don't already put into practice each day. I'm proud of myself for being a high value woman. A high value woman knows she can climb any mountain if she wants. She's not afraid of being unapologetically herself. She is confident.
The ironic thing about the whole video is, I'm 100% positive those women have had at least 10 men tell them the same things, but they've been taught to defy men and hate men, so they ignored it.
And so that's why I'm putting this. I'll drop the link for this video in the description, but I'm putting this here so that men have another perspective as opposed to, see, because women will just tell you anything. Well, I'm high value because I'm the table. You know, I'm the table, so I'm high value. And a lot of men don't know where to go with that. And that's after women saying, don't objectify me. So wait, don't objectify you. And the first thing you did is turn yourself into an object. You're a table. Okay.
Right. You know, and it's like, you know, they tell us to stop looking at them as sexual objects, then what's the first thing they do? Make an OnlyFans account.
Exactly. And even tell their daughters to do it. I posted something about that.
Do you know the average woman on OnlyFans makes less than $200 a month? So imagine you as a woman, feeling empowered, you know, you're going to get on OnlyFans and you think you're going to make millions of dollars because you've seen some other woman do it. So you're going to get on OnlyFans, tell all your friends and family you're on OnlyFans, right, thinking you're going to make millions of dollars, and you show your business to the world, to anybody who's willing to pay that $5 subscription. And that when it's all said and done, everybody you know has seen your business, and you've made less than $200.
Right. Well,
how are you going to show your face at the family reunion?
Yeah, that's difficult to be classified as high value if you go down that path. So I want to play this other video. Kendrick asked a question. I didn't write it down. Guy is going to answer. This is this deals with the whole not being responsible. This guy is a psychologist. And so that's one of the things that I wanted to make sure I did in this, is that I didn't, you know, just sit here and promote my opinion and what I think or feel things are. I got someone else to do it. I read articles. And we can extrapolate and look at consequences of certain behavior. But the title of this video, and it was done in September of 2019, just in case anyone wants to say things have changed since then. Dr. Grand, he's a counselor, education, and supervision. So mental health is his expertise and background. And you could say these are the things to look for. So I just showed you what to look for in a woman who is high value. Now I'm going to show you what you may have been seeing, which is, you would say, low value for sure. And unfortunately, a lot of men accept this. So let's hear what the good Dr. Grand, in Spanish it was grande, but I don't hear a Spanish accent on this guy. So let's hear what the good doctor has to say.
My channel. Oh, this is Dr. Grande. Today's question asks if I can...
Oh, he is grande. Okay.
Channel. Oh, this is Dr. Grande. Today's question asks if I can take a look at the characteristics of a wife who's narcissistic. So in this video, I'll be focusing on a husband and wife relationship, ostensibly a relatively stable one. And this, of course, could also apply to a long-term partnership, whether or not the couple was married. The idea here is the expectations are that the couple will stay together, support each other, and work to meet common goals. Some of the things that we would expect from a long-term relationship. So I'll answer this question by looking at the 10 characteristics of a wife with narcissistic traits. There, of course, are a lot of signs. I'm focusing here on the narcissistic behaviors that would be directly observable by the husband. So first I'll take a quick look at narcissism and then get right into the 10 characteristics here. So what is narcissism? Well, narcissism is a set of personality traits characterized by being self-centered, having a sense of entitlement, having a need for admiration, and having low agreeableness, being disagreeable. Now, when we move past this, we get into two types of narcissism, grandiose and vulnerable. With grandiose, we see characteristics like being self-confident, having superficial charm, being arrogant, being resistant to criticism, being callous, unemotional, and having externalized anger.
Now, what this guy is laying out is, so the first videos and articles talked about high value, and these are the things that a man looks for in a woman. But this guy is going to talk about things that most likely many men actually see in a woman.
With vulnerable narcissism, we see characteristics like being distrusting, feeling insecure, being resentful, having a lot of shame, being hypersensitive to criticism, being defensive, cold, distant, unforgiving, and having internalized anger. Much of the time when somebody is narcissistic, they tend to fluctuate between these two types of narcissism. So this list will have characteristics related to both types. Now, as I read the items in this list, when I use the term wife here, I'm talking about a wife with narcissistic characteristics. And when I use the term husband, I'm talking about a husband who does not. Because if both people have narcissistic characteristics, that would really be a different list. That would manifest differently. So again, the wife's narcissistic here, and the husband is not. So moving right into the list with characteristic number one. This is a continuous sense that the wife is disappointed. She's disgusted by the husband's appearance, his earnings, like at his job, his contribution or lack of contribution to household chores, interactions with the children, his motivation, his educational level. So really, in many ways, if not in every way, the wife is putting the husband down. And this really fits into this narrative that the wife puts forth, that she's a victim of a bad marriage, a bad husband. At the same time, the wife would be highly responsive if another woman is interested in the husband, right? Which seems inconsistent with this continuous sense of being disappointed. Number two, the wife tends to...
That's interesting, right? And there are a lot of guys actually dealing with a wife who's constantly putting them down, and you don't make enough money, and you don't do chores around the house. And I know feminism has fed many women these things to start doing this. And so let's say for a long time there have been women who were highly critical of their husband or boyfriend. I think it's just gotten a little worse. And there's men have not checked women on it. And out of that, for a lot of guys, comes the notion of happy wife, happy life. So you just give in and give her what she wants, which only makes it worse.
Go ahead. Number two, the wife tends to take sides against the husband by default. So she assumes the worst of the husband. She has a lot of distrust for him. So an example here would be something like if there's some sort of home improvement that the couple wants to do, like remodeling a room, putting down a floor, repainting, replacing light fixtures. Now, some people are good at this, and some people aren't. But no matter what the skill level is, the wife is going to be skeptical about the quality of work that the husband can deliver, maybe even to the point where she hires somebody after the job is done to do it right, to come back and fix everything that she thinks the husband did wrong. Now, the point of this isn't really to fix anything. It's to embarrass the husband and not give him any credit for being proficient at anything. Giving him credit would run against this narrative that he's a bad husband. Now, moving on to number three.
And so as long as she can prove she has a bad husband, then she can always be the victim.
I've seen that so many times. I've seen women complain about their husbands not helping them around the house and blah, 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 right? So the husband says, okay, I'll do all the cooking and cleaning. Now, they do nothing, right? They do nothing but go to work and come home. The husband, he has dinner ready on time. He has the house clean. He has the laundry done, and they still complain.
That's why I'm playing this. The women who engage in that behavior are definitely not high value, and men need to be able to see these things.
Number three involves the fantasies of success, power, wealth, and other factors that we see with narcissism. So this is kind of an unusual characteristic of narcissism. Somebody who's narcissistic has these fantasies somewhat frequently, and they tend to be fairly stable fantasies, like the same fantasy over a long period of time. Now here with the wife who's narcissistic, we would see several that involve another partner, like a replacement for the husband. And these aren't really delivered in a subtle way. Now, narcissistic fantasies extend into the future most of the time, but they can also be in the present and in the past. This is one of those kind of unusual angles that we see here with these fantasies. So the fantasy could actually be going back in time and marrying somebody more worthy, a better provider, a better lover. Fantasies are often about undoing something that somebody regrets. And we often see that reflected in the phrases that are used. Phrases like, I never should have settled. I should have listened to my family members, who I guess would have said not to marry the husband. I should have trusted my instincts. Now, of course, as I mentioned, the fantasy could also be in the future. And most of the time, it would be. And with the future-oriented fantasies, we see that the wife is clear that if the fantasy could ever come true, she's gone. The marriage is over. She's not even pretending that there's a good relationship between the couple. Consistent with all the types of fantasies, the wife compares the husband to other men. She points out how other men are better. Now, it's
Chris, I remember you were talking about a woman who had breast implants, and she thought she could get better men now that she had implants, and she was ready to walk. And that's perhaps not as strong as what he's saying, but it's along that line. Like, she became and I'm not categorizing her as narcissistic, but it sounds like she went down that path. Like, she had a future reason that I can do better with someone else, and I'm out of here because I can do better because men are looking at me now.
Oh, no, it's a very narcissistic way of looking at things. And she was she is narcissistic, you know. She's... You know, she looks good for her age. You know, she has a big butt, you know, and, you know, and it just, you know, the inflation, she has a lot of simps throwing themselves at her. So, yeah. Okay. So they always think that, you know, they like the video said, they always think that they could have done better. It's not the decision that they make. It's the decision that they think they should have made.
Right. Or a future decision they could make because they think they can do better than where they are right now.
Right. I don't know what's happened to her. She may have been divorced. I've talked to her in about 5 years now, maybe six now. But she may actually went ahead and got a divorce. I know back then I told her, you know, I was the one who told her, I said, look, if you divorce, you're just going to find a bunch of guys who want to fuck you. Right now you have a husband. Yeah, he might not be perfect, but you're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. You know, but he loves you and he takes care of you. That should be enough for you.
Yep. Well, that's why I'm playing this video, so guys can recognize it up front. Go ahead, Kendrick.
Like I said, OT, it's different between marriage material and finding somebody to have fun with.
Yeah, what these things that I'm playing now, perhaps a lot of men don't understand what's happening. And so a lot
of
these
women don't understand it. It's a difference between a fling and marriage material. That's a big difference.
No. I think you're not understanding what I'm saying. Behaviors like this guy is laying out, a lot of men may not understand what is actually happening. And so he may like some other things, but he's ignoring these things, which would be red flags. And then if you look, combine that with the videos I've already showed, and those videos lay out, these are the behaviors of a high-value woman. If a man has never seen that, he has no clue about it, and a woman could just say, I'm high-value, and he wouldn't know the difference.
And yeah, but if... These dudes going overseas, finding how women are another type of value, a caliber woman, that should tell you something going on. That's the obvious.
Yeah, but that doesn't, Kendrick, you have to understand, it doesn't mean the women overseas are high value either.
No, but they got some type of value other than just opening their legs, though. That's what I'm saying.
A lot of them don't. For the guys that are going overseas, no. They're most of these men are hooking up with whores, man.
I believe you. Trust me, you ain't getting no argument with me. But I still believe it's, you know what I mean, it's still a level of some decency of women over there other than what we got going on here. Because you agree with it.
Ted's right. Ted's right. Some of them, look, they're submissive, right, because their grandmothers and some of them, their mothers have taught them to be submissive and to cater to a man. But make no mistake about it, they know the power of the almighty U.S. dollar. And ultimately, they know that a lot of men that go over there are willing to part ways with it easily.
Exactly.
So they have no problem. So for them, being feminine and being submissive is it's a normal thing, but then they know that they can also profit from it. And that's
exactly
what's going on. They're profited from just being themselves. They have they're no different than the American women. They just know how to market themselves better.
Well, they haven't gotten to the level of entitlement that the women hear. Some of them are, especially you go into DR and you find it's no different. You men can build entitlement into a woman by giving her more than what she ever asked for. And what he just talked about, this is what happens. What happens in other countries? They have so many men throwing so many U.S. dollars or euros at them that they think they can do better elsewhere. So they start developing the same thing. They just have been taught how to be feminine, and the women here haven't. And they're still being whores because they could be having sex with five guys who are all sending them $50 a month, and they can live off of that until they age out of the market.
Or they try to trick that guy. They try to trick that guy into bringing them to the U.S. And in the back of their mind, they're thinking, "Well, I can get a guy, you know, better than him. I just need him to get me to the U.S. where I have access to them."
That's
and so he marries them. He brings them here, and within 6 months, they're already cheating and going after the guy, some guy who makes more than him or who they think is on a higher level than him. So, a lot of them are no different than them. The women are already here.
Yep. So, I Kendrick, I'm saying the belief that the answer is overseas is not. There are high-quality women. You may find higher-quality women in some other countries, but there are, in Ethiopia, the women know how to be submissive.
In other words, a man can't win but to lose. In other words, what you're saying.
I'm not saying that. Just hear me out. There are a lot of women in Ethiopia who get brought over here, and they do exactly what Chris said. They disappear. The man comes home, and she's gone. He has no idea where she is, no note, nothing. And he calls some friends. Sometimes she says, well, he abused me, but there's no police report. He's never done that. But now she's got people to protect her. I'm saying that there are women out there, but they're just much more rare, and the level of development on the man's part, there's also an expectation for that. A man who is high quality, high caliber, I really prefer to say, a high caliber man, the cost for a woman to get a high caliber woman, the cost for a woman to get a high caliber man is her development. Like her commitment, there's a cost of entry to get that guy. And it revolves around her behavior, not her just acting and just doing and saying what she believes. There's a level of commitment to being a much better woman than most that she has to have. And that's the cost of entry. And it's not something she does just to get a ring or a wedding. It's who she was before the guy met her. The same thing for a man who wants a high-caliber woman. The cost of entry is that same kind of commitment and development. And at some point, if the woman wants to have children, there is going to be an expectation that she can ultimately be able to stay home, even if it's for a couple of years. So she's going to expect that a man can take care of the family while she takes care of the kids. The hunter-gatherer days, that's what happened. And the man didn't get paternity leave back then. He had to hunt, whether she was pregnant or not. That hasn't changed, Kendrick. So there's a cost.
Of course it hasn't, but what I'm saying is I don't want no high-value woman. I want a woman with traditional quality characteristics.
Well, that's what
majority of men are getting.
I said high caliber, right? So a high caliber woman has a different kind of commitment to taking care of herself and her family. She understands the most important person in her life is her husband. It's not that the children are not.
It, The idea that you can still get a traditional woman is gone, Kendra. You're just going to have to hang that hat up. It's not. You're not going to get that. You're never going to get that. It's gone. That ship has sailed over 100 years ago.
No. He could get that with the cost to get that woman. It's very different than getting an average woman. It really is. It's a different cost. And I don't know if
I'll say this. The only chance you have of getting that is if you come from an elite family and you're marrying a woman from an elite family.
And Chris, you took it to the next level, right? So, and not even necessarily elite. It could be a notch down from elite. It could be affluent, right? You could come from a well-off family, and you know, the woman grew up with her parents, and her father had a good company. Maybe the company was doing $25 million in revenue. And she saw how her mother didn't work and her mother took care of the family. Like, that's not elite, but that's definitely well-off and affluent. That woman understands a different role. The cost of getting that kind of woman is very different than the cost of getting an average woman. That's what I'm getting.